the right perspective.
You'll never forget this.
Are you mad? Do you feel like Woods Bob Ruff Rennage?
I'm not crazy.
What is life all about?
I know some things that you don't know.
You're connected with Davis Lerman and the right perspective.
Right, whatever.
You're mentally deranged. You suffer from a defective memory.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever.
Can you feel it? Can you feel it?
The right perspective.
It will test your head and your mind. Brain, too.
If you don't like it, turn the damn thing off.
The right perspective.
Right perspective.
It's a persistent kind of nagging noise.
I just thrilled with the whole idea.
I love it.
Okay, boomer.
Sieg Heil.
Okay, faggot.
The liberal world order.
It makes me cringe.
I'm dripping right now.
Violence.
How are you?
It's the White Nationalist Ladies Roundtable.
It is not for nothing that you see so many women in our movement and here in this hall, even in a movement that has fought in the most masculine way. You see them here because the feeling correctly tells them this is about the future of our children and thus about the future of our German-ness. And then there is no more wavering, no faltering. No, the feeling is steady. It does not waver and it does not give way. Believe me, a doctor may speak calmly of our hysterical women, but women once brought Christianity to the nations, and they will ultimately lead our movement to lasting victory. And wherever she was missing, not only the woman herself would be missing, but with her also the youth, and thus the future. Be sure of this, the movement that has the fewest women also has the least strength.
I expect from all women and girls,
the movement that has the fewest women,
that they will support this fight with an extreme fanaticism,
has the least strength,
as they have so far.
White fucking power.
Okay.
Instead,
you're done.
She decides
you're done
to go racial.
White nationalist ladies roundtable.
No, she's right.
The board is a woman.
Right out of Nazi Germany. Right out of Nazi Germany.
It's the White Nationalist Ladies Round Table.
White fucking power.
That's unacceptable.
She's banned.
This is what scrolling on that desolate part of TikTok looks like.
Ban her. She's banned. She's banned. We want a permanent ban on her.
Rare. What is going on?
You didn't know anything about this lady. But now that you do know, show the aggressive, proactive steps that you will take.
We're not here to attack you. We're here to inform you.
That's my thing.
This goes beyond that. This goes beyond that.
If you listen to this for 30 seconds or more, it will haunt your dreams and echo your mind when you're alone in your thoughts.
People of the utmost highest character.
Fucking nigga, fucking motherfucker.
Why she's banned. She's banned. And they want to know why she's banned.
Yeah, no.
No, yeah, really, actually.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, you're done. Any other questions?
It's like, what is this? There was so much drama, and I don't like drama, so... Yes, exactly. It's not my thing.
You know what I mean? When I go to sleep, I just think about...
The White Nationalist Ladies Roundtable.
You know what I mean? It just kind of hits. I like it.
White Nationalist Ladies Roundtable.
I strongly encourage you try it.
It's the White Nationalist Ladies Roundtable.
I suggest y'all try this shit.
White Nationalist Ladies Roundtable.
You have to be white for this to count, okay?
Nationalist Ladies Roundtable.
All right, everyone. We'll be with you in just a moment. Here we go.
The first word is
always
honest.
You do you.
Women have always
honest.
Served to keep America strong and free.
Always
honest.
Always
honest.
clap,
clap, clap.
Clap, clap.
Ah. Clash of.
Clap, clap, clap.
Clap, clap. Ah.
Clash, right? Clash, right?
Clash,
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 clash.
Ah. All right. We should have Always Honest now. Let's see. Add her to the stage. All right. We have everyone. We'll go Clasha, Kathleen, and Always Honest. First, Clasha, how are you?
I am doing great. How are you?
Good, good. All right. And we also have Kathleen with us. Hello,
hello.
Kathleen. Ah, excellent. You sound great. And Always Honest, how are you?
I'm doing well, and hope everybody else is doing well, too.
Yes, indeed, and you have a nice, clear signal as well. Okay, well, slice of life, anyone have anything to offer in the way of white nationalism, something you've read, an interest you've picked up? That's all right. Well, I know, Clasha, you're becoming a paralegal, so you're engaged in the enrollment and all of that.
Yes. That would be fun.
Yes, indeed. So we might hear more about that as that begins. Okay. Well.
And regarding something that I'm reading, I'm simultaneously reading Mein Kampf by Adolf Hitler, 200 Years Together by Alexander Solzhenitsyn. And I have continued to read the history of the Russian czars and the writers up through into the 1960s, beginning in the 1500s. So I'm getting a taste of what has happened then and what is currently happening today. So it's quite an interesting conglomeration of reading material, I must admit.
Interesting, yeah. And if you want another perspective of that same time period,
please.
Joseph Goebbels wrote an 80-page pamphlet called The Nazi Sozi, Nazi-Sozi. It's formatted like a dialogue between himself and a skeptical German citizen, what Hitler was calling the 10th man. Hitler always assumed there was a 10th person in the crowd that wasn't really buying it all. And so he always was speaking to that skeptical German citizen. Anyway, so Goebbels answers the questions in this sort of imaginary back and forth, asserting that National Socialism represents the authentic voice of the working class and is the best way to create a greater Germany. So it's interesting to read because a lot of people, I'm sure you're realizing this reading, that the Weimar Republic, the tumult of those times is actually lost because we compress the Weimar Republic into this one seamy evening of mother, daughter, and children, prostitutes, and Jewish businessmen lording over the German citizens, and we sort of compress that. But Goebbels does a good job of explaining, justifying the ideology and methods of the National Socialists after the Weimar Republic. So it's the first time I've read such a direct explanation of, yeah, here's why we believe what we believe, and we have to do this. And it's anchored in what came out of the Weimar Republic and everyone's dissatisfaction with that, really.
Well, interesting. Where would one find a copy of that 80-page document?
Oh, I'm certain if you search the Nazi Sozi plus PDF, I guarantee it's on PDF somewhere out there.
Okay. And what's very interesting in reading Mein Kampf is that Adolf Hitler was quite perplexed, it seemed, about National Socialism. And he wanted to know what it was. And he studied it at length and he wrote about it. And he basically saw that the aristocrats, for the most part, brought it about and gave it its power because they refused the social programs that National Socialism was giving the proletariat. And they kind of shot themselves in the foot by throwing the whole thing out, and gave power to the rise of National Socialism. And in reading the beginnings of the Bolshevik Revolution and how the Bolsheviks got their power in Russia, it was the same way. The aristocrats had everything in terms of money and wealth and land, and the serfs, the proletariat, didn't have anything, and they were fighting for their rights. And once the Tsar basically abolished serfdom and gave them their freedom, you can never give anyone freedom. We have to claim it ourselves. But when that was basically done away with, the Bolsheviks saw that they had a place to be able to infiltrate so that they could build their platform of Marxism by using the ex-serfs, by using the proletariat. So it was very interesting to see the parallels of how all of that came about rather organically, in using the serfs to completely destroy the bourgeoisie of Russia and turn that completely into a communist Soviet Union.
Interesting. So it's fresh in your mind, and I'll ask this selfishly, and then we'll get on to some of the material for tonight. So if it's fresh in your mind, the whole murder of the Tsar and then the two little revolutions that occurred right in a row – in 1917, and then the ascendancy of the Jew in the Soviet power structure. But there was always this tension. This is very hard to explain to people that just because there weren't enough Jews on paper to be controlling everything does not mean they weren't using the same system they are today, where there's just a Jew at every choke point of power. And Stalin, wisely for his own purposes, was putting Jews in places where he knew he needed people of no empathy for other Russians. And in this way, you can control an entire nation and engage in everything that Stalin did. What are your thoughts about that back and forth, the tension, the strategy of tension, the way Stalin would alternatively demote Jews and then promote other Jews? He was always in a strategy of tension with the Jews. You know, he himself wasn't Jewish, but it would seem in many other instances Jews were calling the shots.
Well, it's interesting because of all the Russian literature that I've read, I didn't read that. But I, you know, of course, Lenin was the father of communism, and he was put in place when the Bolsheviks basically won all of that fighting. The part that surprised me was how long the fighting was and how much resistance there was by the government that was in place fighting against Bolshevism. It really went on for a long time. And there were, you know, nip and tuck when the Bolsheviks almost didn't make it, but they kept getting funding and they kept getting more Marxists shipped in. And of course, the United States was funding it as well. So there was no way that war could have been lost. But one thing that Stalin did was he was so paranoid about who was supporting him that he was constantly murdering his closest at hand, whether they were in the military and whether they were in his cabinet, whatever. He kept taking them out and shooting them because he was so paranoid. And, you know, it was astonishing. And actually, another thing that blew my mind was that he had a nervous breakdown toward the end of World War II, and the United States, if I'm not misquoting this, was basically running the Soviet Union for a year or so. And it was astonishing to me to read that.
Oh, yeah. Very interesting. Yep. Well, what you were reading about sounds like the ideological impetus of Russia. And you might likely get to, or maybe that's a different resource you'd have to read. I'm referring to strictly like the mechanics of the power structure. So you're absolutely correct about the ideology. A pretty cool book if you want to read about the funding for Lenin and his world travels. Again, this broke man of the people ends up in New York City with a refrigerator at that time, which was wildly expensive. And he's a pretty decent apartment too. On no salary, he has no money. And he's being put up in some pretty good digs. It's called Lenin on the Train. And it's how he traveled with tranches of cash. And there's often references to exactly who's funding him. That's an interesting read either way. All right, we'll get out of the book talk and we'll get into some of the material. So thank you for everyone allowing me those selfish questions. All right. So what we'll do is go to Always Honest's show prep. Oh dear. It looks like I have to refresh here, guys. All right, hold on a second. Ah, yes, there it is. Excellent. By the way, did anyone hear?
I have to interrupt you for a second. You know, I'm into gender clarity. So rather than guys, I'm actually a gal, just in case there was any confusion with maybe voice or someone thought that I was doing a different gender.
That's good. Yeah. Thank you. Yes. I know. I say guys too loosely. Guys. Yes, we all have women. This is White Nationalist Ladies. There's no Blair White here, lest you be troubled by Alex Jones. Ah, look what we have here. We have a Jewish handler on both sides, white phosphorus on Gaza. Oh, boy. And while I'm pulling this up, interesting. Did you guys see that it's possible that one of the bombs dropped in Syria early on was a nuke? It's pretty wild. We'll pull some of that up later. But for now, here we go. Making sure. Oh, it's RFK. Oh, look who we have here. RFK to save us all. Here we go. I'll pull up RFK. Let me remove it from studio. And present. Share screen. There it is. Oh, yes. There he is. RFK. And all right, let's not forget RFK, who says
the Palestinian people are arguably the most pampered people by international aid organizations.
Oh, yeah.
Kidding me?
They look really
the Palestinian
pampered.
People are arguably the most pampered people by international aid organizations.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, so pampered. Yeah, even the host is like, "Are you kidding me?" And this is a non-sympathetic interview, but even the host is like, "Come on, the most pampered people." This dude is on a whole other level. All right, I think we'll need to amplify this. I remember playing this earlier, and it was a bit low. All right, here goes.
Because we were robust people, because we were vigorous, because we were tough, we had what my uncle called this beef jerky toughness. That was responsible for our country being the land of the brave and the home of the free, the greatest industrial power in the world. Wealthiest country. We owned half the wealth on earth when my uncle was president, and part of that was because of the vigor of our society. And that's one of the reasons he started the Presidential Council on Fitness, Physical Fitness, because he saw that he felt that Americans were getting soft and was going to steal from us and erode all of our leadership, our moral authority, and our values, and our role as an exemplary nation.
Oh, exemplary nation, right. And how are we going to fight all Israel's enemies if we get soft?
Since his death, had this extraordinary chronic disease epidemic. My uncle was president. 3% of American kids had chronic disease. Today, it's around 60%. And these are a broad category. The ones that Marty mentioned, like ADHD, neurological disorders, ADD, ADHD, speech delay, language delay, tics. Syndrome, narcolepsy, ASD, and autism. All of these are injuries that I never heard of when I was a kid. They were not part of the nomenclature.
Uh-huh.
They weren't part of the dialogue. There was zero spent in this country treating chronic disease when my uncle was president. Today it's about $1.8 trillion annually. It's bankrupting our nation. 74% of American kids cannot qualify for military service. Well, how are we going to maintain?
How are we going to defend Israel against all the people that hate them, right? Yeah.
Our global leadership.
Oh, global, right.
With such global a sick population. We have all these autoimmune diseases, these exotic diseases. Again, I never heard of juvenile diabetes, rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, Crohn's disease, and 100 others that were just unknown when I was a kid. I never knew anybody with a peanut allergy. I never knew anybody with a food allergy. I do 5 of my 7 kids have allergies. I never knew of anybody who had eczema. I knew of a very small number of children who had asthma, but that has exploded as well today. And our fertility is dropping dramatically. Teenagers in this country today have the same testosterone levels as 68-year-old men.
Jesus.
Our girls are reaching puberty 6 years early, 10 to 14 years old. This is existential for our country, and we have to address it. And one of the probably, you know, when I met with, and I want to commend food companies for working with us to achieve this agreement or this settlement. And when I went in a few months or about a month ago to meet with a few food companies, I was talking with my staff about these petroleum-based dyes, and I said, if they want to add petroleum, they want to eat petroleum, they ought to add it themselves at home. But they shouldn't be feeding it to the rest of us. And
oh, I see there. Oh, he got to dig in. Okay.
Without our knowledge or consent.
That with that one comment, everyone, he stopped the rotating door between the Department of Health and Human Safety and the different big agri-food companies. They're no longer taking big positions in the FDA and telling the government what to do. Thank goodness he's cleared it up with that one pithy joke.
And unfortunately, we're gonna get rid of the dyes, and one by one, we're gonna get rid of every ingredient and additive to the school in food that we can legally address. One of the problems is,
I got news for him. If you get rid of the additives, then the blacks aren't going to eat it. That's the first thing.
The industry, which all of these industries.
Oh, I see. He ends mid-sentence. Well, thank goodness he took the red dye out of the Fruit Loops, and now there's no more regulatory capture of the HHS and FDA. JFK, RFK Jr. saving us to the rescue.
Anyway, but Davis, that doesn't get removed for another few years. So,
oh, it's still in there. Oh, great.
Yeah, it's still in there until I think it's 2028. Correct me if I misspoke, but it's something like that.
Oh, it figures everything's like this. Yeah, like they're doing tariffs now, but they're telling you the factories are coming back. But if you look up how long it takes to bring any complex factory back to America, it's like a 5-year project, so Trump won't even be president then. But just collect tariffs and never give you your factories back is how it looks like it's going to happen. And here, this guy, he'll allow the red dye to stay in for another week, then another week, then another week. And next thing you know, he's no longer the head of the HHS. So it might never come out, is my point. Oh, he's honest.
And in the meantime, he is breaking all kinds of privacy laws in HEPA. So he has just introduced a new program to digitally analyze and record statistical information from private medical records that he is able to access. So they are going to monitor autistic children, autistic people, and autism now. Everybody who's autistic in the United States is going to be digitally administered.
When you say it like that, it sounds bad.
Well, I don't think it's good.
I'm joking, right?
Them accessing medical records of autistic people is going to help anybody. It's certainly not for benefit or to change the drugs that they're using, accessing, creating these diseases in the first place and these deficiencies in people. So he is not there to help us at all. He is literally doing the opposite of what he supposedly has been working on for the last 30 years of his life.
Yeah, but he's 72 or whatever he is, and he's really buff, so that's cool.
You know, he's probably jabbing steroids.
Oh, he's definitely roiding, because I exercise, and I'm a younger man than him. And believe me, you don't add that muscle mass without some help or, like, doing it 8 hours a day while eating tuna and turkey.
Yeah, I doubt he's eating tuna and turkey.
Yeah. He's eating Fruit Loops and McDonald's, and he looks like that. Anyway, and everyone knows, by the way, that autistic kids don't have civil rights. Everyone knows this. So look, here we have one now. That's because they get into cosplay and they get in trouble. So that's, everyone knows they don't have any rights. Now it's formalized. They don't have any rights. So RFK to the rescue. There we go, everyone. Kalasha, any comments on finally being saved by RFK?
Oh, yeah. You know, it goes right along with all the deportations going on, too, right?
Oh,
like the
yes.
whole administration. It's so funny. People are losing their minds. How come this isn't happening? I'm like, you believed them? Like,
in the cases it does happen, it's pretty interesting that if you say, like, F Israel, or you do a big anti-genocide protest or something like this, then you get on the shit list and the Jews bounce you. So Jonathan Greenblatt is really like the president of the United States. I've been saying this for years now. Jonathan Greenblatt is the president of the United States. What he says goes, in case you haven't noticed. So President Greenblatt decides if you get to stay or not, and you get thrown out. It doesn't matter if you were MS-13 or whatever. That was an incidental type of photo op. That was propaganda. Trump is making propaganda. He's got Dr. Phil involved. They make a great show of some handcuffed MS-13 guys getting on a plane. That handful is not representative of the number of people we need to get out of America like yesterday. So it's Trump doing his presidency by media spectacle, as we said he would, and he's doing that. But in the meantime, Jews get to selectively toss out who they'd like under the guise of they have bad rhetoric. They have dangerous rhetoric, or they support Hamas, but not with dollars or anything, just morally. They morally support Hamas. So when you do anti-genocide protests, now you support Hamas and they throw you out.
Well, I don't know. I still say fuck the Jew, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm just saying there's probably a good case they could come for one of us next and the Jew will have a reason. Because they're using these bridging cases. So now they're trying to throw out some of the wives of the people because they're like first generation citizens. And so once they get these bridging cases down, they got a handful of precedents they could then use. And no one would be surprised by this if Jews argued, for example, that my rhetoric is so pro Hamas that I need to be thrown out. And I've got constitutional rights and all, but I don't really have any more than someone who's legally holding a green card, and they threw him out. Right. I mean, the green card literally extends to you all the constitutional rights and provisions you would have if you were a citizen, just for certain purposes and duration of time.
I think you're misunderstanding, Davis. I don't think they're going to throw people out. They're going to throw them in prison. There's a huge difference. If you listen to that big fat guy from New York, I can't remember who he was. We showed him last week with the big ugly face and the crooked nose, and he was sitting there fat talking about how they need to imprison the anti-Semites. You guys are going to El Salvador. You're not going like home to Europe. You're going to go to El Salvador.
Yeah, throw you out into that prison, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, if they send me to El Salvador, it'll look like my apartment building.
Oh, no. That's right. Kalasha is suffering under the imposed multiculturalism. It's so exciting. Your life is so much better. What would you do without all this diversity, after all?
Right.
So between that and RFK, things are really looking up. Okay, well, without any further comment, we can go on to the next video. And, oh boy, this is just the worst. So the white phosphorus, you got to say, at this stage, just as a spectacle, you know, it's like something beautiful about it. But then when it rains down, it burns through the skin of little children running home, and it doesn't slow down, I should say, until it reaches the calcium in the bones. But it keeps going, by the way. It keeps going. They don't really have much in the way of health care. So when you hear about children with limbs being chopped off with no pain medicine, it's often because of the white phosphorus that's just burning through their flesh and bone. And it's better to cleave it off than to have them suffer this this limb being eaten away at by a chemical. So there's that. This appears to be a still image. Here we go. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. You think they've used all their stock up? I doubt it. They make a lot of white phosphorus. In America, there's only one place they make it in the world, and it's here in America. So we truly are the great Satan. So that's a hard lesson. It's a hard reality. But when you want to know why the world's so fucked up, go look in the mirror.
We're known for wanting to burn women and children alive. Remember Dresden? We did that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I can't say we did that. The American military and its allies after World War II did that.
At the behest of Jews, as usual, Morgenthau et al. Yep.
That's right. So a bunch of burnt offerings. It's a Holocaust.
That's weird, though.
It's interesting that they call the Holocaust a Holocaust, you know, because for everybody else, it's not a Holocaust because there's no sacrifice or burnt offering for any other religion except for the Jews. So it's their own Holocaust created by themselves and labeled as a burnt offering.
Yeah, it's a really obvious form of projection, as usual.
They did more than project. They went back and burned everybody. The real burnt offering was Dresden.
Yeah, and Hamburg, by the way. That was no picnic either.
Yeah, and if you can even extend that to Hiroshima and Nagasaki, because that's the ruins look exactly the same.
Well, I heard this Army podcast, or I should say a podcast of soldiers who are in the Army, and I was listening to their weird justifications for everything from war to what Israel's doing and even the atomic bomb. And I'd never heard this one before. They said Hiroshima and Nagasaki were lucky that we dropped the bomb because they were going to hand 12-year-old girls spears and tell them to fight the U.S. military if we had to do land invasion. I'd never heard that one before. So like, oh, I see. So you melt the flesh off their bones. So you got to do them a big favor. Like, listen, you might have to be. First of all, I'm not sure they were going to hand them spears. I mean, that might be made up. Because I'm pretty sure all the Japanese wanted was to maintain the continuity of the emperor. That's all they wanted. Everything else is say, okay, come in and administer everything. You can run everything else. You just got to leave us our emperor because we're involved in like a type of blood leadership. And he's very important to the Japanese people. But I've never heard this handing spears to them. So these soldiers must be receiving new propaganda in the military academies. Insane. Well, yeah, there's always a reason. So the same thing here. Palestinian kids, they might have little sticks or rocks or something, so they have to be – you have to kill them too. They're very dangerous. These kids could throw a rock at you, so there's that. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Yeah, look at that. Oh, boy. By the way, there's a lot of white phosphorus in the Dresden bombs. Oh boy, it looks like some kind of evil octopus. Oh, what is this? We have raining. Is that what it looks like when it's raining down on you, maybe? Oh boy. Actually, this last one, I remember what that was. This is it's like a single use new, it's a new type of munition. And you see how it shoots it out with some velocity instead of letting it rain down. This is like a flying lawnmower that spits this stuff out. I forget the name of this device. I think it's a Raytheon device. And it spits it out with velocity so that even if you see the phosphorus cloud beginning, you have no time to run. it's on your skin by the time you look up and begin pedaling away from the scene. So that's just to make sure you get all the women and kids. Yeah. Oh boy. Oh boy. All right. This is talk about depressing. Oh boy. So yeah, this is what it looks like when it gets all of you. Yeah.
It cooks them from the inside out.
Oof.
Keep Where in mind that? They're bombing tents. That was to tents. A tent city was bombed like that, full of women and children, basically sheltering.
Yeah, I'll ask the ladies on the panel. Do you think Iran is actual or false opposition? It seems that Iran should be doing nuclear tests and get some of that respect like North Korea has. But instead, they keep doing this volleying with America when they should be sending hypersonic nuclear tip missiles into Tel Aviv. But I don't know. I don't have any real evidence either way. So we'll go clash of your thoughts. Do you think Iran's for real?
I don't know. The only thing that I've ever really read about it was some CI stuff, Christian Identity. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and it said that they are definitely, you know, in on it. Like, you know, they're a party to this whole prophecy happening. Aside from that,
So we have more nuts. Okay, Kathleen, any thoughts about Iran and their legitimacy as an oppositional force to Israel? Oops. Oh dear.
Kathleen mentioned she had to leave. She probably has to deal with chickens and animals right now.
Gotcha. Okay. See, I was doing the behind the scenes stuff. I wasn't looking at the screen. Okay. Well, always honest. I think I know your answer on Iran. Why don't you tell us?
Okay. So we did overthrow the Shah. Yes. America overthrew the Shah and then the Ayatollahs came in. Well, we put those Ayatollahs there. So if they are opposition, it's a controlled opposition and they are part of the agenda because they're playing along with the World War III scenario.
Mm-hmm. Well, I must admit it does seem so, as depressing as it is, because like everyone else, boy, I'm hoping, man, am I hoping for hypersonic nuclear tip missiles into Tel Aviv.
But they've never attacked anybody, though. You know, we have to remember that Iran doesn't go around starting wars with anybody.
Yeah, but now would be the time. I would say
they've been waiting, right? They were waiting around for the big one.
Well, let's hope. I mean, but it's I must admit, I'm leaning your way, but that'd be nice if.
Well, look, we just had an announcement a couple weeks ago that this realization through Haaretz actually did the announcement that the Saudi Arabian monarchy is actually Jewish and fought against the Assyrians with the Jews. So they made this big announcement via Haaretz. So Saudi Arabia is controlled by them admitting it. You've got politicians in England saying that not even a politician, that bitch, the blonde one that has 12 grandchildren, who does the EU. She's saying that Europe and Great Britain is a Talmudic country.
Yeah, Queen Ursula, yeah.
Yes, her. She last week was just quoted, and you can find it on the internet, stating that that Europe, and particularly England, Great Britain, is Talmudic.
Mm-hmm.
And is run basically under Talmudic laws, and they are a Talmudic people as well.
Yeah, well, this is Yeah, this is actually making a lot of sense. Now, by the way, let's have a little fun here. Let's pull up a picture of Saudi Arabia. And in case people didn't know, it's just like in the movies. It's nothing but glass. It's an entire city of glass-faced buildings. I mean it is something. Here we go. Saudi Arabia.
Are you talking about the line?
Well, Saudi Arabia itself has got these giant glass buildings and all of this, and so does
very modern cities that have been developed to the highest amount of development, just like some of the cities in China and Dubai, right? They're very similar in structures and design, very modern, glassy types of
tall
buildings.
Dubai's another one. I mean,
yes. Well, so they've been spending their money on their infrastructure. They're not like America sending their money to Israel every year. They don't give us anything. They don't even fix the holes in the roads, for Pete's sake. Israel needs that money. Send it to Israel.
What's really funny about all those buildings is they get German engineers.
You're right. You know what? Most of our equipment, so you're going to love this, because I did a lot of rail projects a while back. And I found out, because we would have to go to Europe for all of the engineers, all the engineering and design that's done on heavy equipment, rail moving equipment, mechanicals, even robotics is all being designed by Germans and Norwegian and people from the Netherlands.
Mm-hmm.
All of it. Okay, there's not one single black engineer coming out of Africa. And there ain't none coming out of Jingdong down, even China got none. And there's absolutely nothing coming from South America in any way, shape, or form. So the brown and black engineers, they are engineering nothing. And there certainly as fuck aren't any Indian dots over there. Okay? They're not making shit.
Interesting.
And
well,
one more thing about the Indian dots, just so everybody is aware. The Indian dots are not considered Arabs. I don't know if anybody's aware of this, but they are not considered Arabs. They are another version. They're Middle Eastern to a sense, but India and Pakistan and Afghanistan is kind of its own beast. And if you call Arabs an Indian, they feel offended.
Yeah, I don't blame them. All right.
Those fuckers are dirty. Pardon the French, but they are.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's look at what fun could be had by Iran. So I'll show you Dubai, United Arab Emirates, and Saudi Arabia. And you'll notice in common how they have this modern look and lots of glass. Well, you wouldn't even need nukes here. You just need the inconvenience of like 5 minutes of carpet bombing or send those hypersonics in, and this entire city would be awash in fractured glass. This is Dubai. See this here? Well, that's a nice soft target for some hypersonic missiles. Dubai, by the way, it's like a subnational authority, and it controls that emirate of Dubai. You know, you got those United Arab Emirates, and those are essentially like constituent monarchies that make up the UAE. And they are, in short, they're controlled by American State Department and Jews. So Israel has a big say in Dubai, well, the UAE. So that means you're controlling Dubai, you're controlling Saudi Arabia, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, look at this one. Let me show you this. Whoops. Here's another one. Oh, look at that. Got the Saudi Tower. That's a lot of glass. Beautiful. Well, the point is, you could shake shit up over there if you did it right in all these cities that are Jew-controlled, U.S. State Department-controlled, but I repeat myself. Look at, that's the Riyadh Tower. Yep. Mm-hmm. You could take that out. There's that Riyadh Tower. Interesting. Yep. Well, you know, again, this is more proof that Iran is not really who they say they are. So there's that. Unfortunately. All right. Any comment on our desire to blow the glass out of these These pretend friends of Arabs. It would be fun. I'd like to see the videos of them, like, walking in the glass and then having it slip in their shoes and they all have bloody feet. Oh, that'd be great.
Oh, yeah, that, crunching in the flip-flops.
Right, crunch around. Yeah, don't they walk around in that dumb, like, a bed sheet with some flip-flops?
Yeah. So
that'd be good. Fuck their shit up. Yeah. Goddamn. Mm-hmm. All right, well, we may as well go to the tick to the talk next, unless anyone has comment. All right. There we go. We're going to go to the tick to the talk. And I should be brought directly into... No. This is so strange. All right, let me go to activity and messages.
Yeah, you'll find everything in the messages, Davis.
Perfect. There we go. Share this tab. We're on the messages. Nice. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me see what order it goes in. So, when I go down there, those are the earlier ones. So these are the latest ones. I understand. Mm-hmm. They don't need your money. They print it. Well, we knew that, but why not learn a little?
Wait a minute. You're on my page. You're
yeah.
not in messages. You're actually on my page. So these are.
Oh, that's no good. Okay,
yeah,
here,
to messages. There you go.
There we go. Oh, I saw this one. This is great. Yeah, let's watch. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah,
an Israeli soldier eaten by a shark. I wonder, are the Israelis going to go like carpet bomb the sharks now? We'll have to find out.
It's a bit gruesome, people. So
to highlight one of the soldiers of humanity. He was not a human being. He was a shark. But he has done more to fight the insidious Zio scourge than any of our war leaders today. So thank you, shark, and great job. I want to take a moment.
That's actually pretty cool. Yeah. If you think about it, you could like put a purple heart on that fin there and just let the shark swim around the water. That's pretty awesome. Nice. All right. Any thoughts on the Israeli soldier being eaten by a shark?
I really enjoyed watching the video several times. Not this one, but the actual video of the shark attacking him. Because you can see his head bopping around in the water. Right? And then all of a sudden you see a shark fin start to circle him and his head and his arms start to frantically move around. And then the shark gets him and then there's blood in the water everywhere. And this guy's like trying to get away from this 100-mile-an-hour swimming shark. And this guy just like keeps battering him until it finally pulls him underwater.
That's too much.
The shark must not have enjoyed it much because it spit him back out and parts of his body ended up on shore.
Oh, nice. That's even better. This way it's really humiliating as well. Yeah, that's got to drive the Jews nuts because they're seeing people really lauding the shark and enjoying this, and they're supposed to be God's chosen people, so it's confusing to them. Clasha, any thoughts besides your favorite new animal is a shark?
It is. I've been saving so many pictures off of Twitter. Did you see the one I just put in FTJ?
Oh, no. Let me go take a look at that. Good idea. All right. Are you not entertained? Yeah, I'll show you that. Yeah, we are.
That's a good one.
That's a really good one. You're hella entertained. That's great.
Oh, that's
fucking brilliant. That's it. Oh, Clasha. Okay. Oh, by the way, at 9 o'clock we will be getting to the chats. We have a lot of input and we like to get to our chat people. Let's make sure I can see all the way up to MFC. Okay, good. Yeah, we'll go to that at 9. Shark's chosen people. Yes, exactly. Fantastic journey. Shark Waffen says Serbian Bull. That's pretty good. Shark Waffen. Why not? All right. Next up. Me.
You have your flat screen CD and your iPhone 16. Apple AirPods and
EGB. Well, that's weird because Douglas Murray said that nothing's been blocked. It's almost like he's not telling the truth or something.
I can't hear anything.
You can't? Hold on a second.
I still have Are You Not Entertained, but I don't know if you're showing video or just sound.
Oh, no. I clicked over share the screen. All right. Hold on. Let me stop sharing, and then I'll reshare, and this should be good. And me, diddly-dee. Here we go.
That's a good shark one, too.
Here we go. Okay. Remove. Present. Well, it says it's sharing screen. Oh, boy. Let's try one more time, and then I'll believe it's figgity-fucked. All right. Do we have the newscast here?
Since the collapse of the ceasefire between Israel and Hamas in early March, Gaza has not received any deliveries of food, water, fuel, or medical supplies, as Israel has blocked all humanitarian aid. That's left Gazans in dire straits. Earlier, I spoke with Gavin Kelleher of the Norwegian Refugee Council, who's in Gaza.
The situation here on the ground in Gaza is one of utter desperation. People are already running out of the things that they need to stay alive. Civilians are being attacked in incessant military violence. People are being displaced in the hundreds of thousands, more than 420,000 people displaced in the last month alone. And people are being denied access to the basics they need to survive, including food and dwindling access to water.
Is it possible to single out one greatest need?
I would say that access to food at this point has reached a really critical...
Oh, I was going to say dead Jews. We're like, we definitely need more dead Jews. That's going to fix a lot of this, actually.
Most families in Gaza are now surviving on just one meal a day. Many of those families are splitting that meal in half just to try to get through the day. People are exhausting their coping mechanisms now to access food. People are selling their belongings. They're selling their clothes, trying to access cash to get food. Others are bartering. On social media, you see posts for people trying to sell diapers or exchange diapers for a bag of lentils or cooking oil. Begging is also overwhelming at this point, but of course, very few people have any ability to assist now because nothing has entered Gaza for almost 50 days.
Talk about that, the renewal of fighting, the new blocking aid getting into Gaza, 50 days. Had things been getting better before that?
In the period during the ceasefire, we were able to scale up our shelter response. Access to food was improved. The markets were increasing in capacity. When the ceasefire collapsed, though, everything changed. So nothing had come in. Yes. There are no supplies coming in, but needs are growing as more and more people are being displaced in this violence. And we're unable to support them. Now, humanitarian organizations on the ground have had our hands tied.
How is the situation affecting your group's ability to operate?
We have empty warehouses at this point. We have a small number of supplies left in the south that we will continue distributing over the next week. Other than that, we're contracting water trucks so people can still have some access to clean drinking water. But everything here is on a knife's edge. At any point now, we could run out of access to fuel, which is needed to continue producing water in Gaza, to continue moving it around. And the hunger that is growing here now is becoming the number one priority for people on the ground. And as an organization, we're not able to bring any supplies in. There's nothing that we can do at this point other than continue to call for the crossing points into Gaza to be opened.
Yesterday, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said Israel had no choice, in his words, but to continue fighting in Gaza. He said the war won't end before they destroy Hamas, free the hostages, and make sure that Gaza is no longer a threat to Israel. What do you say to that?
I think we have to separate out the obligations that Israel has under international humanitarian law. At this point, every single truck of aid that Israel is denying from entering Gaza is risking becoming a death sentence for people here who have already run out of food on the ground. And it is unacceptable to employ collective punishment on this scale for 2.1 million people in pursuit of military objectives.
The Israelis, of course, say that they are fighting Hamas. They're not fighting Gazans. Is it possible to separate the effect between the two?
It's not possible to separate the effect between the two at this point. We continue to see dozens of airstrikes a day. We continue to see babies, infants, children, women, men being blown apart who are very clearly civilians in these waves of military violence. We're also seeing the collective punishment with denial of any aid response. So right now we are seeing civilians in Gaza suffer, and that is undeniable at this point because Israel is pursuing military objectives without enough consideration for the civilians that are here on the ground.
You say that things are on a knife's edge. Is it possible to say that if you don't get aid by a certain point, it's going to be the point of no return?
We expect that in the next week to 2 weeks, the community kitchens, which are providing maybe one meal a day to around half of the families in Gaza, will fully exhaust their supplies. But I think you can imagine, if you built a wall around an American city of 2.1 million people and stopped letting anything come in at all for 50 days and continued to pursue that policy, of course we are going to see unavoidable deaths here in the tens of thousands if the siege is not lifted in the coming weeks.
Gavin Kelleher in Gaza, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Well, I know the questions we're supposed to be asking are, why is Hamas using those people as human shields? And in Donald Trump voice, you would ask, why do these Gazans want to starve their own people like this? That's, of course, the propaganda we get. Disgusting. All right. Either or, and he takes on this depressing video.
Nope. The starving is something that they have been doing for every one of their wars.
Guys, it's official.
Oh, yeah.
All guys, it's official. Sorry, this is the war. Famine. It's part of their agenda. So, you know, we can expect a famine coming here, especially considering all the bees are dead.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not going to have any fruits or vegetables. It's getting kind of desperate for us as well over here. And as we're watching what's happening over there, you have to remember the things that they do there. They can't bomb us. They can't put white phosphorus on us. They can't put us in prison completely yet for just calling them what we do, the things that we say ourselves on this show. They can't put us in prison for it yet. But the ultimate goal is to be treated like the way they're treating these Palestinians. And that's why I keep showing this and letting people know, because I don't live there. I live here. And I'm concerned it's going to come here. And I want to stop this before it gets here. So I don't know how hard or how loud or how many times people need to be told that this is a game plan. It's a playbook. It's a historically repeated process over and over and over again in splitting up territories. These people have been doing this for a long time, and they just go region to region, conquering, destroying, killing, burning, maiming, until they have complete control of everything. They've gotten to the point where they feel like they have enough control that we are aware of what they're doing, and they're coming for us over here. The ultimate goal is the destruction of America.
Oh, well, yeah, that's in short order. So, yes, by the way, I noticed just before we play this Death Cross, I guess you get messages from crazy people as well. But, you know, that colony collapse stuff, that's like a scientific term that the people who study this stuff use. But I don't know what the criteria is. Like, have we reached pervasive colony collapse? That's the phrasing. Once you reach that, that's like the point of no return, where you could try all you'd like to. It's not that we can't breed bees and release them, but it's more like the cross-pollination that should have been occurring to keep the whole thing going. If that ceases long enough, then there's like a point of no return for the ecosystem and the predator-prey relationship that builds on top of all that, all beginning with the humble bee and his pollination and cross-pollination. So have you heard of
what's happening with the bees?
Yeah.
So what's happening with the bees right now is bees, their entire life is about their colony. The general bee that goes out and collects the honey and takes care of the drones and the entire hive, they have a 90-day life cycle. So they have 90 days to gather whatever they can, create their honey, create propolis, do everything, the maintenance on the hive, right? But they have to be able to get back to the hive. What they think is happening is all the aluminum and barium and the heavy metals are actually affecting their transmitting process. So they don't know how to get back to their hives, and they're just dying, because people aren't finding dead bees. They're finding no bees. So you go into a hive with 50,000 bees in it, and there's no freaking bees left, not one bee. you're like, they're, everybody's kind of rolling their eyes going, what? Usually there's dead, if it's a disease, an infestation of some type of a predator or an insect, there'll be signs, there'll be dead bees. But there are no bees. You go into your hive and they're just gone. And so I've been watching this happen with my hives. In February, I went into my hive and there was not a single bee. It was full of honey, but there were no bees and no larva at all in the brooding holes, not a single larva. So they weren't even producing probably for at least a month or more. And there was not a single bee anywhere in sight. The other hive I have was booming and completely alive. I went out a couple of days, put my bee suit on, and there's like three bees. They're just gone.
Oh, boy.
So I have bees ordered to fill the hives back up again. I thought I was going to have three hives since I lost that one because I've ordered two more. It looks like I'm just going to end up with two hives. If I even get them, I'm hearing from our association here. We have about 150 people locally within our bee association, and they're all looking for hives. They can't make nukes, which are what you sell to other people so they can open up hives and start hives.
Oh.
They've even gone as far as buying specialty queen bees from Hawaii that are mite resistant, you know, just to give them some protection from the mites that we have here in California. So, but I was talking to one of our master beekeepers the other day, and he was saying they don't even know if they can fill the nuke orders because there's no bees to, there's not enough hives left to split in order to make nukes. So it's really bad. They're not out in the berry fields. They're short. The ones that they do have are just being moved around from field to field to field to field, trying to get everything pollinated. But I mean, these whatever bees are surviving, they're struggling.
Well, see, Iran, get on it. Even bees have nukes.
Well, and this is worldwide.
Yeah. Well, the chat is saying Clasher hates bees. Clasher is saying fuck the bees. I don't know. Is that true? What do you think of the bees? I'm making that up. Oh, no, that was the Africanized bees. She said fuck the Africanized bees. Oh, actually, no, it's just fuck Africa, she said. All right.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No. There you go.
Yeah. And the Africanized bees. They're kind of, you know, they're kind of doing the same thing to the bees as like the Africans are doing to us. Mm-hmm. Like everything bad comes from Africa, I'm telling you.
It's true. And well, what do you want to bet? They fill this gap with the more aggressive Africanized bees. So it'll be near colony collapse and they'll say, oh, well, we have to refill the rank, you know, just like they do white replacement. They're going to do bee replacement. They're going to bring in nigger bees. And next thing you know, we're going to have aggressive Africanized bees cross pollinating everything as people get stung and die. This will be our fate. Africans and Africanized bees.
I think so.
Yep. Any excuse to replace white people and the bees, right? So there's that. All right. Well, let's take a look at the chat. We've been very unfair. The chat has been waiting. So here we go. We shall get to it now and quickly. All right. Here we are.
Oh. Right. Well, hey, hello. Welcome to the stream, everybody.
It just never, it never ends. It never ends. It's always something. So how are you guys? Welcome. Who do we have here? We got
MFC NorCal, Serbian Bull, Strong by 55. We also have Lex V giving the Romans. Goose Steppenwolf, what's up, buddy? Kato Kashiro, nice. Oh, Kato Kashiro says the business of the girls with spears, that's not completely a lie, since most of the men were out of the country fighting the war. Girls were learning to use naginta, I guess it's a type of spear, to protect themselves, their homes, and families and friends in case of a full-on American invasion. Only this and nothing else, that's the weaponry they had. Further stories are the allegories and the lies. Okay, well, that's fascinating. No, I still think I think some men could pretty sure you could safely remove the spears from their, I don't know. We probably just would have shot them, I guess. But still, I don't know. It's the strangest justification for dropping a nuke I've ever heard is 12-year-olds with spears. Oh, yeah. Okay. That's a very strange excuse. I think everyone can agree. And Goose Steppenwolf says Saudi crowns have been Jews since 1700. The sheiks paid agents to retrieve this in English diaries and published works. Oh, boy, see, we have the documents. There we go. Sir Mibul said Sharkwaffen. Wanted to give him props for that. That's a good one. And Klaxon SS gives us some deets that are interesting. Synagogues in Saudi Arabia, zero. Well, that's because they're Jewish. They do a type of Talmudic Islam. Iran, 57. Russia, 129. UK, 454. Germany, 130. France, 169. Australia, 61. Mexico, 186. Canada, 171 synagogues. Oh, boy. Oh, and the United States taking the top billing. 2,919 synagogues. Wow. That's almost the exact number of people that died in the Twin Towers after the Jews blew them up. That's wild. What a coincidence. BP also lost a lot of bees, and he also lost churro. I don't know what the churro bit means, but Blackpilled, I guess, is having a problem with his bees. This seems to be common, then, because Blackpilled lives nowhere near Always Honest, and he's having the same bee problem, right? So there's that. People in Japan were hearing rumors about what was happening to women and girls in Germany. Oh, well, yeah, I mean, then the girls, I mean, they should have had spears, obviously, because, sure, you know, American soldiers, yeah, they were going to do exactly what you're thinking. Not all of them. All right. But enough of them. We got a name for ourselves, especially the black soldiers. Boy, oh boy. Black soldiers in Italy. All right.
Hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. We have Rights for Whites. We have me. All right. Lots of posting from Rights for... Oh, this is a good one, too. Let's show everyone this. Interesting. That's pretty good. That'd make a neat little, like, logo on a skateboard or something. We need to start doing a better job with our, with our marketing. Oh, look at that. Clasher with the dancing sharks outside the synagogue. Oh, yeah. Look at that. Mm-hmm. Truly a hate crime that has never been... It's never been anything like this. In fact, these sharks were here dancing, and then next thing you know, HT rolled by and started throwing flyers out. It's crazy. It's madness. It's madness in front of the synagogues. The great white shark, great Rights for White says, exactly, exactly. Oh, look at that. Oh, there you go. That's another good one. That's a pretty excellent Photoshop job there, if you think about it. Check that out. Yeah, everyone's loving the sharks. Oh, look at that. All right, here's another one. Here you go. Yeah, that shark's on a cruise. This shark saved up like 5 years for this cruise. He's going to eat all the Jew he wants. So don't try to stop him. He's even going to go to that midnight snack and have some Jew there. On the cruises, everyone walks around, they eat like pigs. Yeah, that's how it is on a cruise, keeping you stuffed. I saw what you did to the USS Liberty. There you go. This shark is, well, let's say he's got something to say to the Jews. He's going to use his love language is chewing on Jew ass. And here we go. The Jewish nigga tasted like shit and foreskins. 0 out of 10 would not recommend on Yelp. There you go. Yelp for sharks. All right. We like it. Okay. Well, that's good. Those are fun. Fun and funny. We really do like it. All right, let's go to the next video, shall we? And this one's called Death Cross. I see this comment here. Republicans always tank the economy and Democrats always have to fix it. Look it up always. Yeah, I get these sometimes. The party-affiliated knuckleheads who have like recently come over to pro-white content. This poor lady is lost in the mix. She doesn't know what's happening. Yeah, look it up, Always Honest. Democrats are always fixing the economy, and Republicans are ruining it. It's like, well, I'm pretty sure both are ruining it. That's how we got here. If the Democrats were coming in and fixing it, we'd still have the economy we have. Well, everyone gets the point. Everyone gets the point. It's like prima facie evidence. They don't fix it on account of it broken. Hey, Beck, it broken. All right, let's go here. Oops. Okay, well, that's not, I'm not sure what a death cross is, but that doesn't sound good. Always honest, do you know anything about this death cross? Because I surely do not.
Officially, you know, I'm not an investment savvy or anything like that, but I have gotten reference from this from investment bankers that I know. And generally, when this death cross happens in all three of the exchanges, there's usually some kind of a depression or an economy crunch, dive, or something happens where we go into a recession. So that's why they call it a death cross. And it has to have the last one, I guess NASDAQ did it a couple of days ago to finish off the three of them.
Right. Well, it seems to me he's applying.
We're not seeing it, by the way, on the screen.
You're not?
No, we still see the shark.
Oh, come on. Hold on. Let me just shut everything off.
Yeah, that's a real visual thing, so they have to be able to see that one because it's very
So you didn't hear it, you didn't see it, you just heard me silently listening to this guy. Oh, boy, you got to alert me when that happens. Yeah, please alert me when that happens. Okay, well, here we go.
Well, it's not playing. You there?
Yeah.
It's not playing.
It's not playing? I'm sorry. No. I didn't share the right screen. Jesus. Okay. I was watching it. I was enjoying it very much.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll try it again.
Cool. Guys, it's official. All the three indices are showing the death cross. This is S&P 500. This is NASDAQ. You see the death cross? This is S&P 500. See? Death cross. This is the Dow Jones Industrial Average, just gave us a death cross. So all three indices are right now have displayed the death cross, and it's unanimous. We're headed to depression. I'm very, very sorry to say that because it doesn't benefit me. Good luck. Peace. Don't quit that job, man. Keep it. Keep it. Put up with our shit, man. It's going to be you're heading to recession. Guys, it's...
All right, Clash, any take on that?
I missed it.
Oh, quite all right, yeah. So the death cross, I don't know much about the death cross, but it seems to me that this dude is applying like textbook market fundamentals to a manipulated market. So, you know, we have plunge protection and everything. I'm not trying to paint a rosier picture than there might be. I'm just suggesting that when you use like the macroeconomics 101 textbook and you start applying the formulae to a market that's rigged, I'm not so sure you can just say, well, multiple death cross, therefore depression. It's not that simple, especially with plunge protection and a manipulated market. I'm not saying it'll feel good. I'm just saying, you know, this thing is going to drag itself out. The people who are accelerationists looking at this death cross and thinking like, oh, finally we're here. It's like, well, not so fast. America is going to be the kind of country that takes 100 years to fall. Because the Jews just never know when to quit. So that's just my opinion. Well, always honest, any elaboration on what the man said?
We've been falling for 100 years, Davis. When was the depression? That's true. Yeah. When was the last depression, right? So we're there. We're really close. You know, I understand because I have some age to me that this has been the threat for a long time. This is my husband's big deal. When I tell him, look, when gold was only 1700, I was telling him, let's please go buy some gold. He let me buy some, but not what I wanted to buy. And now he regrets it because it went up to 35. It's down at 33 right now. So when we bought it, it's almost doubled the money already. His idea is, you know, the American economy is just too strong and the dollar is too strong and it bolsters the whole world. And I'm like, it doesn't, because the petrol dollar just isn't there anymore. They're not pegging all of the monetary value in the world internationally to the U.S. dollar anymore. People can purchase oil in their own currency, other countries. So it's not, the U.S. dollar doesn't stand alone as bolstering the world currency. It just doesn't. So, you know, to me, yes, the threat of this has been going on for 20 years. They've been saying we're going to have a crash, the dollar's not worth anything, we're going to have a bad economy, we're going to go into a depression, it's going to make 2008 look ridiculous. Well, I can see that that's, you know, it's coming due. And I would say that somewhere around September 11th, we'll probably have some kind of, you know, shit thing happen to take us into some kind of a depression. September 11th is a good date for them. You know, if that does end up being Jesus's birthday, you know, they're just going to keep terrorizing us during that time. So it could never have, you know, a nice presence in our mind, because it'll always be associated with pain and death and, you know, loss of money, loss of income, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, reduction of quality of life. Yeah. Either way. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Terrible, terrible.
I don't like it that our shows get a little depressing, because I really focus on reality and I don't play around. I don't care about football and I don't watch the movies and I don't care about, you know, fiction or any of that stuff. I really just focus on the fact that, you know, this is all going to happen here in America. This is not going to get better. It's going to get worse. And these people are just not going to go away on their own. They're not just going to wake up someday and say, oh, yeah, this is boring, we don't want to do it anymore. That's not going to happen. They are in a position where they feel like they've got, you know, they can move forward with controlling the entire world. And they've spent a lot of time conquering and moving territories. And like, this is the final solution. This is the final division of territories that's coming. And I do believe that regardless of what we do and how we protest and any of that, that they're still going to push forward for their war, because we are insignificant to them. The only time we're significant is when we're a threat. And right now, they obviously don't feel that any of us are a threat.
Well, yeah, they're not acting like we're a threat, I can tell you that.
Well, we're not a threat.
Well, clearly, yeah. We're not organized enough to have a dog walking association, much less defeat the Jews. That's just the reality. I know that's very blackpilling to people, but we got to get our shit together. That's just how it goes.
Yeah, and I don't like it, because it's like we're always blackpilling all the time. And I try to find some light out there, but it just gets harder and harder to. I do believe all the darkness always comes to light. And I believe we're going to win. And I have hope that we're going to win, that humanity is going to survive this. And I like to bring some hope also along with all of this black pilling and all of this reality, because we have to be able to leave with some enthusiasm to force change.
Oh yes. Well, but it's best to tell people how it is, so at least they're bracing for the type of effort it has to take. So we're not going to be the people that tell you this is easy, so at least that, right? At least yes. That no one here is going to lie to you. So, but we do. We'll still. I'm sure there'll be some funny bits tonight. Now, share screen. Yeah, we're going to try.
Yeah, the lighter side of genocide.
Yeah, the lighter side of genocide. There you go. Yep, my new memoir. All right, I forgot to do this earlier, and so let's remind you, the kid.
Fuck you,
okay,
pay me.
We heard you. Here we go.
Fuck you, pay me.
Mr. Lerman.
Fuck you, pay me.
Davis Lerman.
Fuck you, pay me.
Davis Lerman.
Fuck you, pay me.
Fucking pay me.
Davis Lerman.
Fuck you, pay me.
Davis Lerman.
Okay, and I know I'm going to get the usual email from our friend in the UK who tells me, don't ask for donations after you do like a bad economic news bit. Like, what? Why? I'm not supposed to start planning my request for donations around the stories. These people are crazy. I'm glad I don't listen to anybody. I really don't listen to anybody. And so far, that's not really worked out, but that's how it is. So here we are going back to, there we go, share this instead. I'm going to go make sure we have it on the screen, and we do. But I don't trust the audio, so let's reconnect. And we'll do that in 3, 2, 1. Here we go.
Oh,
messages. Okay, going up one more message.
We have an executive order on school discipline policies. Under, I believe it was the Biden administration, first Obama and then Biden, the Department of Justice issued guidance that made it almost impossible for schools to enforce adequate disciplinary policies. This created issues in the classroom for teachers and students alike. Basically, they focused on CRT and sort of diversity ideology instead of actually just enforcing the rules in classrooms to ensure a safe learning environment. This is
another word, right? So he's right. So in other words, it used to be, and probably will likely continue to be, you can't punish the black kids. And now I guess he's signing some magic order. He's going to sprinkle fairy dust on it. And then all the niggers are going to behave.
This executive order revokes that prior guidance and puts us back in a place where hopefully the Department of Education can focus on education and teachers can focus on teaching in a safe environment.
And this was important for you, Linda, as I understand it. Huh?
Yeah, absolutely, because it gives teachers the authority now to have discipline in their classroom and discipline the person who is being disruptive.
We took
that away.
We have an executive.
It's going to be the blacks, Trump. African Americans.
What exactly does that mean? Are they going to start spanking or hitting our children in school?
God, I hope so. No, it
well,
just means it's annoying.
Is that not discipline? Is that not discipline? What kind of, I mean, they don't break it down. How else are they going to contain them with discipline? Oh.
They have a system in schools where people who are trained and they get this little per diem, they're trained in how to restrain these kids, and they're going to try that. They're just going to get their asses kicked when it comes to the high school kids. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know what that means. We're going to see. You're not going to be spanking the gangbangers. I doubt they mean spanking the little ones either. So,
am I the only one here old enough to remember when the principal had a paddle in his office?
I remember.
Oh, there was no paddle for me. That's funny. A paddle in the office, for real.
Oh, like hell yeah. Pong.
Like a ping pong paddle or something?
Like a cutting board.
Yeah, kind of paddle. Big paddles that would hurt your butt if they hit you.
You got sent to the office then, man. You were getting it.
Oh, well, I don't know. Yeah, that's, no, I did not, I didn't have that. My dad would, you know, he would handle things in the house. Yeah, I might be getting into sticky subject matter here, but we did the whole no hitting thing. And I know a lot of people
today.
What's that?
And that is what is wrong with people today.
Well, our kids turned out great. So I think it just depends on the kids. But we had a conversation that went a little something like this before we had the kids. Like, so are we going to do the thing? Are we going to do the thing that was done to us? I mean, it seemed to like work out. And the conversation we had went something like this. If the whole world knew that you hit your wife, what would people think of you? They think I'm a pretty shitty guy. But isn't it weird that you can hit your kids and no one thinks anything of it? So anyway, it worked out fine. It only came to that once, but I'm not telling anyone what to do. I just know that there's some people believe in the corporal, type punishment, and others have other ways of doing it. So you do you.
So I have two little boys and they are rambunctious. These guys do not sit still. They destroy the house. They write on walls. They do things that make most people go bananas. But we waited so long to have babies that we don't care that they do that. We have a chat with them. The only time I've had to spank is when, like, when they, like, the little one took a pair of scissors and started cutting things up in the house, like the cat's whiskers.
Oh no!
When he did that, I felt okay. I kind of put him over, and I have this like wooden bamboo back scratcher, and I kind of swatted his bottom with that. And that was enough for him to, and then I hid all the scissors. But, you know, my husband is a non-hitter. He came from a family of non-hitters. And where I came from, man, they would slap my ass. Palestinian kids get slapped around. So that's why they behave. And, you know, sometimes when you see some of these interviews, they're very cordial and they're really, they're very articulate in how they are culturally, but they're very, you know, kind and generous when they speak, and they're very respectful to adults because they're taught this. But so I came from a family of hitters, and my husband is from a family of non-hitters. And for me, my oldest son, I didn't have to spank him at all. He was a straight A student. He didn't ever do anything wrong. And I was spanked like crazy. So for me, I don't really spank. But I see sometimes that there would have to be a necessity for it. Like, obviously you're not beating your kids. And I like the way that you guys came to your conclusion where, hey, you know, if somebody knew you're hitting your wife, you know, it's, you got to put the same concept to your children. Everybody's a human being in this scenario. So we have to apply it that way to a certain extent. And yes, they used to spank kids in school. And I'm afraid that's what they're bringing back with this discipline thing, because imagine how this is going to go. Look at how Floyd got the pretend knee in the neck bullshit, right? You start getting teachers or whoever they're going to teach to do these maneuvers, you know, and then ultimately it's going to be they're going to teach women teachers to do this, or is the woman teacher going to have to sit there with some psychotic black kid in the classroom beating the shit out of a little girl or something? And she can't stop him physically, so she has to, like, ring the bell, and the guy that's trained to come in to do it's going to do it. And what if the kid overpowers him? You know, like, some of these black kids are big. You've got, like, a 6 foot, 200-pound third grader. they're big kids, and they're strong, and they're aggressive.
Well, there's an upside to that, though. There's an upside. If the niggers start stabbing the teachers or whatever, they're going to be taking out pedophiles.
That's true too. Getting rid of the pedophiles by weaponizing the nogs. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, it's a win-win.
Well, it could be.
I could see the positive in that. Absolutely.
Yeah. And just to be clear, I don't wear rose.
We're not encouraging anything.
Oh, right. Yeah. I'm just saying I don't wear rose colored glasses. Some kids, like I have friends whose kids, they need to be hit. So I'm just saying it's from kid to kid. So believe me, this is not advice. I'm not telling anyone what to do. And like I said, I know plenty of kids. It's like, there's something, that kid is off. He needs to be hit. And that's just the reality.
If anything, we need to teach our kids to hit. Because I watch these kids not hitting back, and they're getting beat up by these big black monsters. And they
pick up
a
rock.
They're succumbing to it. They curl up in a ball in fetal position and get kicked. And, you know, instead of scratching, biting, kicking, ripping, whatever they can to get that beast off of them.
Well, they were told that they don't deserve to defend themselves, right? They were told they deserve this. So that's why
they're not on guard.
Yeah, that's
true,
too.
They're not on guard because bad parents have told their children that we're all the same.
Right. They didn't teach them around blacks, never relax.
Yep.
Which
I teach my children. I showed them the map that I have that shows the IQs in different regions, from the United States to Europe and then to Africa. And they could see for themselves who had the lowest IQs. And they were warned to just stay away from that type of an IQ.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I don't use color. I don't use color if they figure out that it's blacks and that's their deal.
Yes. Well, we had a code word when we were out and about, like at an airport or something. So my kids were allowed to refer to the blacks as Canadians with air quotes.
I love that.
My daughter would do this thing where she would spell it out, like Oh, look at the BLAQUESs. So there you go. But I still think they would have figured that. I think, so, honey, I think they can spell phonetically. They just can't read. Yeah, but we never
order on school discipline
turned into anything. All right, let's go to the next item.
Oh, this is really good. Can I set this up?
Oh, yeah. Tell us what's happening here.
So this is the ambassador, the Israeli ambassador to Korea, in Korea, trying to have a meal. Being confronted by Koreans about his being complicit in genocide.
They won't South let him Korea. Eat. Yep. Interesting. Well, all right, good. We're glad he's getting a tough time.
Stop genocide. Free Palestine.
He's trying to have a meal.
Free Palestine.
Genocide is not welcome here.
Get out here.
It's a restaurant. Get out. Wait, it's a restaurant. It's a public space, so they don't have to get out.
You can be here too.
Yeah, go get some noodles and then keep going. At
No. Hey, listen. Here, police officer, get out.
We're just talking.
We are here restaurant.
Yes, but we're just talking.
You're offending the ambassador.
Isn't it weird this guy speaking like broken English, so he's almost performing for the ambassador.
They all are.
Yeah, they're all performing. He's saying like, oh, yeah, well, I'm here for the ambassador. I'm speaking a language he can surely understand when he should be speaking Korean, I would think. Very interesting.
The other people responding to this in the restaurant are telling him in Korean, that, and then that's translating there. But that's a piece of pretending, or he's a police officer of some sort. But they just keep going. They don't stop. This is what needs to happen in this country to all of our politicians. They shouldn't be allowed out their doors.
Yeah, next time they're right at the laundry. Gavin Newsom goes to the laundry. He should be blown out by protesters.
Baby killer. Just go right in there. You're a baby killer. Baby killer. You guys are sending money to kill babies and kill women.
Yeah. You say, shut up, baby killer. Every time they try to respond, they say, shut up, baby killer.
Yep.
No one wants to hear from you. Interesting.
Oh, yeah. Get out.
This is the smart politician. She's like, well, I'm not saying anything. Yeah, you could tell she was about to. She's like, this is a no-win situation here. It's bad enough I'm being seen next to this Jew.
It's probably his Korean wife.
Oh, well, he's not just visiting Korea.
I think he's the ambassador, the Israeli ambassador to Korea. So he's.
Oh, you think he's gone?
I think that's probably his wife sitting next to him, and she gets to be a little concerned toward, you know, deeper into this video where she feels kind of threatened by the people because they're not stopping and they're adamant that this guy needs to like get up and leave.
She's thinking, boy, I wish we were in North Korea. He won't meet with them. That's why they have to track him down to a restaurant. See, you should have done your job and met with them. Obstruction of work. That's great. All right. Well, good. Look, he thought it was like, oh, I'm going to sign something. No.
Can I have your autograph? Okay, yes.
It's not your fucking, they don't want your autograph. All right. Well, I have one for you. Let me see if I can grab this. Oh, yes, off the desktop. I downloaded it today. Do you guys know the mythology of Chris Chan?
Oh, God.
Oh,
that
yeah.
sounds familiar, but I'm not sure.
Gross. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Clasher, you want to do the honors of thumbnailing Chris Chan?
Okay, he's a tranny, and he was some kind of internet guy. That's all I know. But then he raped his mom.
See, yeah, you know everything of any consequence, yeah. So right. he's such a smoldering trash fire that he became like this internet thing that people would just look at and marvel. And yes, he's really disgusting and confused. Well, he's been arrested. We have body cam footage of that, so this is fun.
Well, interdimensionally, you can't tangibly see them. Okay.
Those
are trolls. They're following me from the internet. Do not report this.
It's real. Oh my God! What is this?
I am Christian Sancho, your goddess Blue Heart.
Okay.
It's happening now. We're on the very last thread.
What? They're everywhere. I don't mean that. We're surrounded.
So all the Chris Chan weirdos came out of the woodwork. I mean, this is amazing. They must be trolling, right? This is
what was he arrested for?
That we're going to get to, yeah. But it's not his mom again. I can tell you that. They don't let him near his own mother because he, you know, raped
he
her.
He actually okay. raped his own mother?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God!
Which is weird.
He needs to be in a hospital, or
he did it with a lady
where
penis.
He could be contained. Oh, gross!
Yeah, well, he belongs in a nut house, but I prefer he be in prison. Yeah.
Back to attention was internet personality known as Chris Chan. This never-before-seen footage was obtained and first released by EWU, and reveals a behind-the-scenes look at the day that took thousands of online observers by storm.
What the heck is going on right now? This is the most wild call for service I've ever been on.
As officers with the Henrico County Police Department cautiously approach the second-floor hotel room, they prepare themselves in case a possible altercation waits for them behind the door.
She's right here. Oh, gotta unlock it. Hello.
Yes.
Hi, what's your name?
Hi, I'm Christine Chandler.
Okay, can you come out for a second?
Listen to that weird voice.
What's that? You got a warrant for your arrest, all right?
Okay.
You're not going to stop. You're not going to do that. Do not fight. You will get tased.
Okay, well, listen, I will comply, but I want... I'd like to come back with my things.
Oh, yeah. That's how it works.
And what about my van? And I'd like to put my shoes on, please.
Yeah, sure, of course. We'll get
there. Yeah, your shoes and your glasses. All right. Well, that's enough of that. Anyway, Jonathan Yaniv is another one. That beast needs to be arrested. Jessica Yaniv, whatever it's calling himself now. Yes, everyone. Yes. So I think we've had enough of that. We don't really need to see any more Chris Chan. It's just great to know.
What was the one on the outside, though?
On the inside?
No, outside. What were the cops like? What the heck?
Oh, everyone knows where Chris Chan lives, and they're either trolls or, as crazy as it seems, they might be followers. He might have, like, fans.
Oh, God.
And when the super fan, I know, when the super fans and the bronies found out, like, oh, no, our Chris Chan god is being arrested, then they came to the rescue of Christine Chan. Unbelievable. Yeah, you can't make this shit up. This country is nuts.
It makes me wonder, are we really sure we want to stop the Jews from destroying everything? I mean, maybe there's an upside. I don't know.
Yeah, speaking my language. Like, yeah, are we sure we want to go through with this? Yeah. Well, of course, we have to. We have to. By the way, always honest. Yep.
I am always honest. I am always honest. I am always,
always
honest.
Oh, thank you for the $20.
The first word is
always
honest.
You do you.
Women have always served to keep America strong and free.
Always honest. Always
honest.
All right. And we'll check real quick. Let me turn off the sound on that. I don't have a date on that video, so I think it really might be the arrest after the sexual molestation of his own mom. But he was also arrested for being in a kid's park, so it might be that. Lurking in the kid's park. By the way, look at this laser on his gut. Are you seeing what I'm seeing? There's like a laser from the taser on her gut. Its gut. That'd be fun if they set it off, but they didn't.
What a weird, distorted-looking body.
Yeah, he's super strange. Yeah, Christian is. He's nobody's cup of tea. I was going to say not everyone's. He's really nobody's cup of tea. But yeah, there we have it. All right, we'll go to the next. Let's share. British soldiers. Oh, okay, good, good, good. Here, share this. And me?
Nothing there.
No, it didn't change. Hold on. All right, let me take that off and remove this. Remove. All right. Christian used to do streams that were evidently like 12 hours long. I can't imagine. Imagine being a person who like watches all that. It's probably worse than the Tuber fans. That's really something. And that's saying something. But boy, next level.
The only thing I could do for 12 hours is possibly sleep.
Yeah, I hear that. I hear that. God. All right, now it looks like we have our guy here offering record numbers. Oh, let's see what the hell he's talking about here.
Numbers. Reports now breaking British signing off in record numbers. Reports now breaking British soldiers are signing off in record numbers. Reports now confirm it. Troops are handing in their notice and walking away. They refuse to fight for Starmer and his traitorous government. They know what's coming, and they're not dying for globalist wars. The military is collapsing from within. Troops are rejecting unlawful orders and foreign entanglements. They won't be pawns in a war that has nothing to do with defending Britain. No loyalty to a regime that sold out the people. No blood spilled for WEF puppets and NATO's agenda. Britain's fighting men have spoken, and they're walking away. The question now is, will the people do the same when conscription comes knocking? Refuse the draft, reject the regime, the line is being drawn. Breaking British soldiers are signing off in record number.
By the way, what was this about Keir Starmer kissing a guy or something? What was this about? I completely missed this.
I saw the video, but I can't remember who the guy was.
But he did kiss a guy. This is the point?
Yeah.
Brother. What a homo. All right, let me look it up quick.
I think it's a prerequisite to being a globalist is being a freaking gay.
Lord Ali. I don't know who Lord Ali is, but here, Alli. Oh, it's an Indian fella. Wow. Waleed Ali or whatever his name is. Okay, well, that's crazy. That's crazy. But I hardly think this would be. I mean, is this really something that would get Keir Starmer kicked out of political office? That doesn't seem likely. Oh, it's this kind of video. Wow, that's so weird. Okay, I didn't realize that. Here, I'll show this is from another dude's channel. It's like a Ring doorbell.
TV footage is finally
of
Keir Starmer kissing Lord Ali.
I guess all this madness.
Okay. Anyway, so now you see. That's disgusting. Oh, well.
Yeah, that was kind of an intimate kiss, too.
Sure was.
It wasn't just buddy embrace and a kiss on the cheek. They were, like, making out.
Yeah, they were going at it. Well, I'm sure I'm not going to be the first to coin this, but Queer Starmer.
Yeah.
There you go. Queer six-pointed Starmer. Right. What a douche. All right, well, let's make sure we have Norman Finkelstein share this tab instead. All right. Now we're talking. All right. 1 minute.
Who is an accurate representative of his society? It's not as if he is an excrescence. That's defense.
He's a really weird guy, isn't he? But he says good stuff. All right, I'll continue. An excrescence.
It's the word for like an artificial outgrowth. He's not an excrescence. The fact that he is the longest sitting prime minister of Israel, there's a very good reason for it. Because he is an obnoxious, self-righteous Jewish supremacist. And that is a reflection of 95% of Israeli society. Obnoxious Jewish supremacists.
Oh.
Self-righteous society. Netanyahu is less a orchestrator than he is a reflection of Israeli society. Netanyahu is an accurate...
Oops, what the hell just happened? Watch where you click on TikTok.
Netanyahu is...
All right, I guess I got to go back to messages. It's crazy. All right, any comments on the very odd but well-spoken...
He's quoting David Duke.
Oh, really?
Well, and David Duke is the one that came up with the Jewish supremacy thing.
Oh, that's true, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he's using David Duke's words. Go, David Duke.
I guess, yeah. Planting seeds. Planting the seeds. All right,
I like what Bushmaster...
Go ahead.
Bushmaster in the FTJ, he said that he's donating for the 12-hour AH sleep feed.
Yeah. I think that's always funny. Not a sleep fund.
Yeah. No, feed. Like so.
Oh, you know, feed.
Because these guys, remember I said the only thing I could do for 12 hours was sleep after you said they're doing 12-hour feeds?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? So just put the camera on me sleeping for 12 hours.
Yes. Well, it depends. You sleep in
sleep. People would watch it.
They probably will.
Gosh,
I know.
How boring would that be?
Well, again, it depends what you sleep in, so I won't be naughty, but yes. So we have Bushmaster 6A, right, with a $10 dono. He's looking for the feed. What are you going to do?
I am always honest. I am always honest. I am always honest.
Mm. You got to do Bushmaster, though, not mine.
Oh, right. I'm really retarded tonight. It's a good thing you're here to keep me straight. I was actually picturing you sleeping. I'm wondering what you're wearing. I got all distracted.
Bushmaster 6.
Bushmaster
6.
Bushmaster. The A says
A. 6. Okay. I was thinking of you. I was distracted. That's funny. I was like, will she even be able to sleep while people watch her? Or will she pull the covers and stick her rear end out and make everyone distracted? I don't know. So anyway.
No, I could never do something like that. I could never do something like that because, you know, I don't know what I'm doing when I'm sleeping. What if I snore or, God forbid, fart or something like that? I would never to go online or anything ever again. It would be so humiliating. No thanks.
It's true. No one knows what they're doing. Yeah. Who knows what you're doing when you're sleeping? That's true. Plus, it'd be hard to get to sleep if you know people are, like, watching you. That's going to be it's going to be a strange feeling.
I think that's really funny. What a thought.
And he was kidding around, obviously. We're not going to...
But, you know, people probably would watch something like that. People are very weird. And the weirder you do, the weirder you are, the weirder the people are that come in and watch you.
People watch right. Chris Chan and Tuber. So, I mean,
see? Proving the point. Like,
I can't even deal with the voices.
If you're going to sleep with oven mittens on or something like that, and then the real weirdos would come out of the woodwork. They'd be
see, one of the reasons I was attracted to your show is your voice. It's very, it's strong, you're articulate, you have incredible knowledge, historical knowledge, current events. So you have this presence that demands an audience. I don't know that these men, other guys, you know, you hear their voices and it's very hard to stay with them. Because they got these whiny little bitch voices or they just don't have that like radio voice, that commanding, you know, leader kind of voice.
Well, Tuber himself, that is just ratchet. I mean,
yeah,
his voice sounds ghetto ratchet. It's just, I mean, it's really something. It's so grating. I never understood how people could stick with it, but hey, different strokes. I guess they like ear rape. So they turn Tuber up. What are you going to do? Chris Chan, who knows what they're doing to that? They're probably, I don't want to imagine what the people who watch Chris Chan are up to. Anyway, so Clasha, any take on anything we've said so far, except for the inappropriate bits?
What, like Tuber's voice?
Oh, sure.
Or like AIS when he says, let's fucking go. Oh my God, it's so gay.
Dude, it is so gay. He's trying to rally the troops, this, the man with garden hose arms is rallying the troops with a cowbell. Can you imagine this? The absurdity of it. He's leading us into battle, ringing a cowbell, saying, thank God for that Tuber cheddar, or whatever they say in that drop. Yeah, it's nuts. It's crazy. All right, we can go back to the material. Say, so who do we have here? This looks like, oh gosh, it's a Fox News clip. This is going to be good. The Rise of Kneecap. Oh, wait, that's that band, right? Okay. Now let's check this out. We can hear about Kneecap.
The Irish band Kneecap on Friday night, for all to see. Israel is committing genocide, they wrote, against the Palestinian people. Lastly, they projected this. F Israel, free Palestine. It's for young Americans to see this and to have cheers happen after. Doesn't sit right.
Yeah, it's interesting that this was an Irish band because tensions between Ireland and Israel are at an all-time high. Israel even closed its embassy in Ireland in December, and they cited extreme anti-Israel policy from the Irish government. I believe this band is Northern Ireland, but still, you still have this display.
It happened during a set from the...
Wow. Okay, well, so they're indignant for Israel. Think about that, because of some band in Ireland. I mean, this is nuts. Yeah.
You know, I get them doing that, but honestly, Ireland's in really bad shape right now. So fuck them. You know, they need to be worried about the Irish.
Yeah, they should be. They should be. Well, they should just say free speech for the Irish. Like, how about that? Like, just let this band do their thing. They came to Coachella. What do you care? Oh, that's right. It offended the Jews. But yes, Ireland is being fucked with in a big way. So Ireland needs to be saying, fuck Israel and fuck the Jews who are screwing up our country. They should probably have both.
You know, what's really gross is what she just said. She goes, can you imagine being an American kid or whatever and hearing that? Oh, my God, the horror. Really, bitch?
Right. Especially the people at Coachella, especially like most of them are high. So I don't think they would get it. And the other half might agree.
She thinks American kids are going to be aghast because poor Israel. I mean, they're really missing it because I'll tell you what, the younger kids, they're getting it. They don't give a shit about Israel. Yeah. You know, they're growing up in this multi-culti. They're the kids getting beat up in these videos. They give zero fucks about Israel.
Yeah, they have no fucks to give. Always honest.
Yeah, I completely agree. The people at Coachella, those are very hip people in their 40s and 50s as well, and even older people that go to that. But those people are hip. They're tuned in. They don't give a shit about the Holocaust or the Jews or Israel, and they are on the side of the Palestinians. So you know, I think they're just trying to cover base, try to cover up that obvious miss.
Well, I wish I'd be on the side of the Irish. That'd be nice too. So, Ireland, well, they need to start throwing Molotovs again.
I don't think the kids here are worried about whether or not it's a. They don't give a fuck about the Middle East. They got their own issues going on.
Yeah. They can't go out. They can't rent a house. They can't leave their home. They don't have jobs. They've got debt coming out of college. Mm. Yeah.
Everywhere they look, people are brown and don't speak their language.
Why would they care about anywhere else but what they're having to experience here?
And then this kneecap group, it really does echo America, because evidently that Irish band in Ireland is on some kind of a terrorist list, or like a hate. They're on some kind of hate list, and they're watching them for terrorism. It's like, it's a fucking band, you know. They just play music. I don't know. It's kind of this overreaction of what the Jews always do, and
Netanyahu.
It actually is a good.
It happened during.
How do you take nice girls and turn them into monsters? How do you take nice Jewish boys and girls?
Well, that's the fundamental, assumption she's got wrong there.
They don't start out nice either.
Exactly. Right. That's like asking, how do you take venomous snakes and turn them into snakes that bite people? It's like, what?
You inbreed them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. She's gonna run this pretense of like, oh, that they're nice Jewish boys and girls, and then the Israeli military ruins them. The education system ruins them. Right, right.
And turn them into monstrous killers of children when they reach 18. Right. It takes a very long, thorough, and sophisticated education to do that. And that was my question, you know. How do you do that? How come, And we have an organization called Breaking the Silence, where soldiers confess what they did in the West Bank. And many of these confessions, the soldiers say, I was educated to believe that whatever I do to the Palestinians will save us from another Holocaust. Mm-hmm. And only when I aimed my rifle at a little girl, I realized that I was the evil one, and then I stopped. So this education is so entrenched. It's really, Richard Dawkins hated religion, and he called religion mind infection. But I think this is mind infection. Ideologies can be mind infected. And they are so infected with it that and the dehumanization of Palestinians especially is so strong that it's very hard for people, especially young people, to get rid of that and to see these people as human beings. Yeah. How do you...
Well, but if it's just a system of education, how come this hasn't popped up in there? What other country is engaged in like a genocidal murder spree? So it can't just be an education system. It's more likely that this is just a country full of serial killers, like that kid a few blocks over. No one's ever caught him, but he's always playing with the cats, and then the cats disappear. That kind of kid, the kid who's like torturing cats with a blowtorch in his shed. All those kids like that, they're in Israel. That's who Israel is. So Israel's a country full of psychopaths, and this bitch is forcing you to wonder, like, gee, I wonder what turns him into that. Okay.
Being Jewish.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, the problem is they already are that. And her job is to make you think it isn't inherently who they are. This isn't a Jewish problem, so to speak. It's just a Jewish question. How could we re-educate them? No. There's no re-educating them.
Is she trying to convince us to see them as people with redeeming qualities?
Yeah, she is. She's trying to make it look like. Yeah, there's a handful of them. I found I can get them on video to cry and, act almost human and convince you that they felt bad doing the things they did. Oh, wow. Woo. Oh, good for you. That's yay. All right. So we're to believe all of Israel has joined humanity because a handful of female soldiers feel bad about what they did. Okay. Well, not exactly.
It's just an act. It's just an act. None of them feel bad for what they do. If they do it, they enjoy doing it.
Well, even if a handful feel bad and cry on camera, what does that change? That didn't change anything.
It's like that whining guy who was running over people in his bulldozer and then he couldn't eat meat anymore and was having nightmares. Okay. I just can't draw any sympathy for that shit.
Yeah, we're supposed to feel bad for him because he still hears the crushing bones. And
to death.
Yeah, he's not going to. He'll be fine. Yeah. Aw, poor guy. He'd like to drive over you and your family. So that's everyone listening. He'd like to do that to you, too. Keir Starmer was raised by Jimmy Savile. I get it, Dan Simmons. That's funny. All right, let's try the next. Oh, wait a second. It's 9:59. Let's do what we got to do. Memo to myself. Do the dumb stuff you got to do. And, you know, part of that is getting by. So let me make sure that's on the screen. Oh, thank God it's working again. Okay, that is on the screen. All right, everybody, you know the dealio. You know what's going on here, right?
Fuck you, Tammy.
All right, we heard you. I'll punish you with this.
Mr. Lerman.
Davis Lerman.
Davis Lerman.
Let's go donate some money, okay? Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. This might be one of the worst things I've ever done, okay?
Davis Lerman.
Daisuke. Rock and roll. Sarang Hale.
It will.
I love you.
Daisuke. 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 Yes, yes, yes. Daisuke. Daisuke. What?
I don't know what that is. Let's go donate some money, okay?
I'm hungry. Kitty paws. Thank you so much.
The right perspective.
Oh, yeah.
Rolling perspective.
Okay. And let's not forget, over at Buy Me a Coffee, we have Bigfoot WV. Let's see.
Bigfoot
WV.
Right. And you'll notice, here it is. Yep.
Bigfoot.
A letter W and a letter V.
Thanks, buddy. All right. And... well, Fash was a 5 like a week ago, and I guess I didn't look at this, so.
Our lesson begins.
Fashy. 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 Right, there we go. Let's go take a look at the F to the T to the J and double check, and we got me, Bushmaster, and then, Alex Wazlak. Nice.
Yeah.
Alex.
Who is Locke?
Alex. Lazwak.
Alex.
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 Lazwak.
Alex.
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 Lazwak.
Alex.
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 Do we have the correct pronunciation of your name?
Alex.
Who is Locke?
Lazwak.
Yes. Evidently, we have multiple pronunciations of his name. I think it's more like Wazlak. Wazlak. Anyway. Close enough, Alex Wazlak. We'll just say that. All right, everybody, we appreciate you. Sticking with us, Kick Chef. Ireland has been pro-Palestinian forever, partly because Britain and loyalists are hyper-Zionists. Ah, okay. Well, that makes sense, right? So you want to be the you want to be the opposite of the Britain loyalists that you hate, so you. Sure, that makes sense. You ally yourself with the enemies of the Jews. Sure, makes sense. They're also a seemingly like an oppressed people, and they have a lot of oppression and starvation in their own history, so it would make sense that they would look at Palestinians and be like, hey, we've been there. We've been under the thumb, under the boot, and all that. So, and yeah, that makes a lot of sense, actually. All right. Let's go back to... Let's see, stop screen, and we're going to go back to, right, share screen X, Oh, there she is. All right.
You guys remember the...
How do you...
What?
You guys remember the big news last week when Trump blocked an Israeli attack on Iran in favor of diplomacy? Well, apparently, our greatest ally was not too happy about that. Yeah, apparently there were a number of officials in the Trump administration who voiced doubts about the attack, and those people included Tulsi Gabbard, Pete Hegseth, J.D. Vance. So now the Trump administration is going to go ahead and just appoint a new NSC director, that's National Security Council Director for Israel and Iran, who previously worked for the Israeli Ministry of Defense. And according to new reporting from Ryan Grimm and Sagar Anjetti, and this is the new appointee, Merav Sarin, they write that Sarin's appointment gives Israel an unusual advantage in internal policy discussion, just as the Israeli government has launched a new campaign to pressure the American government to start a war with Iran rather than continue with negotiations towards a nuclear deal. Full transparency, the NSC has defended her as a, quote, patriotic American. But here is her bio. I'll read a little bit of it, and you can decide for yourself whether or not she's a patriotic American. Quote, previously, she worked at Israel's Ministry of Defense, where she participated in negotiations in the West Bank between Israel's coordinator for government activities in the territories and Palestinian Authority officials. She also penned this article making the moral case for high-tech weapons and, you know, just asking the question, has Israel's military innovations made war more just? It was a long article, let me tell you, but basically her answer was yes. Let's see, back in 2016, she also tweeted critically about the Iran deal from the perspective of Israel. But I think the biggest question we have to ask ourselves today is, why is Qatar getting away with undermining U.S. interests? You guys remember the big news last week when Trump blocked an Israeli...
Oh, I see. He was doing a funny at the end, yeah. Yep, he did a funny at the end. Right. And that was actually Tim Pool did that, too. Yep. Qatar always comes up when someone wants to change the subject. I think it's part of the training. I'm not joking about this. I don't mean that, like, facetiously. Because it does seem a lot of these people, they always go like, yeah, but what about the dynamic between Qatar and China? You're like, what? You just changed. We were talking about dead babies. Now are you, why are you about Qatar? What do you mean Qatar? Anywho, thoughts? Oh, no. Wait a second. Oh, no, no. We do have everyone. Okay. I think you guys need to unmute yourselves, maybe. Let's see. There we go. All right. Any thoughts, anybody?
No, I've been sitting here trying to figure out how to say Alex's last name.
I know. I think it's like you do a little like what at the beginning and you say Laszlak. So it's like Laszlak, that kind of thing. That's what it seems like. I don't know.
I asked him in the chat and he hasn't said nothing.
Ah, there you go. Well, he's probably he's fine with us sort of just trying our best. That's what I think. There you go. So what do you think, Always Honest? Is this a lot of is this kabuki theater? Do you really believe the U.S. did this in contravention of Israel's wishes, desires, and interests? And now Netanyahu's angry? Or is it just sort of, is it theater for the people who watch the ping pong?
It's theater for the ping pong. Everything that we see that comes out of the general media is going to be theater.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. And it seems that it was even theater with a purpose. I guarantee you, they went into this pro wrestling style kayfabe incident as saying, okay, remember, the point of this is to appoint an Israeli official to the National Security Council, right? And then this little back and forth gives them the opportunity and the cover to do so. And now everyone looking at it goes, oh, yeah, it's not like they tell us what to do. This was negotiated. It was a way of us making it up to Israel. We had to put an Israeli official on the National Security Council. Nothing wrong with that. Totally normal. There we go. Oh, no, her. This is Leonardo Joni. Okay. OnlyFans corrupts and funds genocide. Well, that's news to me. I did not know that. So now you're wondering, all you creeps out there who are buying your $9.99. Butthole pics. Yeah, your butthole pics and booby pics. We're going to find out how you two are contributing to genocide.
Are people really taking pictures of their buttholes and posting it online for money? I mean, this is real. I've never been on Only, so I have no idea.
Oh, I've never been on either, but it's a meme that I think has some reality behind it. So if they're selling feet pics, I guarantee they're selling butthole pics. I'm just saying. Think about where you're living. Think about where you're living.
Doesn't a rabbi run OnlyFans?
Yeah.
He owns it.
Yeah.
And as soon as that happened.
After you hear this video too, you'll see that he also takes a big percentage. I think it's 20% of his profits and gives them to Israel.
Whoa.
Is he the one that was trying to say he was going to make porn ethical?
Oh no, what's that other one?
The one with the dildo with his daughter.
No, that's Rabbi Shmuley. You're referring to, hold on, I got to look this up.
Oh, there's so many of them, jeez.
Yeah, I know, but
it's the other one.
Here, I'll go. This is bad to put in your Google search, but just I put porn sites. All right, porn sites I just looked up, and...
Oh, no.
This one sounds, it was Pornhub.
Your wife's going to find out you're searching your computer.
Yeah, that's now in my search history. Oh, well. But, yeah, Pornhub, the owner there is like, yeah, we're going to make this real ethical. Dennis Prager said something the same at one point. In the same conversation, he said he wonders if being anti-Semitic and denying the Holocaust means you don't get into heaven. That's Dennis Prager for it. See, they're just Jews that when you splash a little water on them, they become really good Christians, so.
They already did this with porn when they made it freedom of speech.
That's right. That's how they got it in, didn't they?
Uh-huh. They used it. They said that's speech and art.
Yeah, it's freedom of speech. It's prostitution when there's no camera, but you put a camera and now it's art.
Intellectual property as well. So it's art as well. Right? So that's how the Jews had their argument in order to be able to put it up into our faces every day and, let us grow up with porn in our lives.
So the OnlyFans, he's like a digital pimp and he's going to make sure he gets his 60% from these hoes. So there we have it. All right, let's see what Leonardo Joni has to say.
Nothing playing.
What's that?
Nothing's playing.
Oh, brother, this again. Thank you for the heads up. Here we go. Share screen. Ah, there she is. Okay, Leonardo Joni.
Right, is he wants to talk about, how bad OnlyFans is or whatever, and he doesn't get into who owns OnlyFans.
Who funds it?
A rabbi.
Yeah.
Who then takes the portion of money that they get. I think they get about a third of the girls' money, and they use it to fund Israel. So you're literally turning women into whores and using the money they make, whoring themselves out to commit genocide. I mean, I don't know anything that's more evil than that. That is diabolical. That is some Dr. Evil shit.
Nobody wants to touch it. Nobody wants to
touch it.
Why? Scared cowards.
Why would they be scared?
Well, there is a legitimate reason why they would be scared.
They don't want to
be president. So,
because of the level of power. Mm-hmm. That's why. Right, as he wants to.
Yeah, disproportionate and illegitimate power. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's absolutely right.
Yeah, she is. Well, she's gotten herself in trouble, but it seems to, I don't know if it's working out for her. I hope it's working out for her. Yes, yes, yes.
I think that at some point, Davis, even somebody like me who just calls in or does a spot on a show or even something smaller, the housewife who says, children in Palestine shouldn't get blown up. On Facebook, even down to that level, they are going to try and arrest all of us. I believe this.
They might kill this woman if she takes a prop plane anywhere. It might be her last flight.
Yeah, I don't fly anymore because of that. If I do, I try to, go private. I save money and you'd be surprised that private, because they're trying to make it so people can't really travel a whole lot. It's getting more and more expensive. I remember when I was a kid in the early 70s when our family members would come from Europe and the Middle East. And I mean, they were paying like $2,200, $2,800 for their airline tickets.
Oh, boy.
They were super expensive to get on a plane and go to other countries. So traveling back in the early 60s through the early 70s was unique. It wasn't like we have it now. Everything's so accessible. But I think it's going to go back to that, where, you know, just even flying to New York from California and back the other way is going to cost $1,000. I don't think we're going to have those $300-$400 flights anymore. Mm-hmm. And they're going to restrict how we fly. So it's really important for people to know that they don't need a real ID to fly, that they can fly with the passport card, or just use their passport.
So, oh, that's right. You've mentioned that. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't feel like you have to be extorted into using this digital, you know, footprint that you're going to leave. How many times do you go into federal buildings? Like if you're suing somebody, if you get a speeding ticket, is that state buildings as well? No, because it's federal. So, I mean, very rarely do we go into federal buildings as citizens. There would really be no necessity for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think airports are considered federal. Airports are private. Are they not private? I'm not sure. So, just solve the problem. Don't get the real ID card and get a passport card. Rather than on top of your passport. That way you don't have to actually carry your passport around and risk losing it or having it confiscated. You keep that at home and you have the card which identifies you. It's all hologrammed, you know, on the card, and it's very easy to use.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, I didn't even know this existed until you mentioned it, so that's handy to know. Yep.
$35, you can do it. And if you hold a passport for 10 years, you can now renew your passport online.
Oh, check that out.
It's really cool. I just found out because I have to renew mine.
There you go. Not that I'm going anywhere, but yeah, it's good to know. It's good to know that you don't have to go get the real ID or whatever.
I want to go live in Italy so badly.
Well, you may regret saying that if you go to Italy. You know, it's they've got their share of problems, but yeah, it depends. If you could afford like the Amalfi Coast or something, that'd be one thing.
Oh, God. You know, it's lovely there, but just being that close to the ocean, I don't know that I would. I live close to the ocean where I'm at now, and it's very costly, but still pretty affordable. I prefer northern Italy at the Swiss border. That area, it just feels like home. It's all green and mountainous, and it's just beautiful. It's, you know, kind of like about an hour drive north in towards Switzerland from Lake Como. That area is just incredible. The people are incredible. They have amazing little towns and villages where, you know, you get up and you have a coffee and you get your coffee ground for bringing it home. And then you go to the bakery and you know, you don't really keep a lot of food every day because you're walking through town, talking to people. And it's kind of an old school feeling. It still exists in a lot of those rural locations. I hate Rome. But, you know, Venice, Milan, a lot of other places. I prefer Serrano. You know, if you're going to go into the south and to the beaches and stuff, Serrano's amazing. Positano is really nice as well. So it's pretty, but that's more for vacationing. For living, you want to be in the northern part and away from the cities.
Well,
you can buy like ruins for $20,000, like a building, and then you put $50,000 into it. You got a beautiful little house and you own it.
Check that out. Now you better get cracking on Italian then.
I don't have to. My husband is Swiss Italian, and they inherited property there through their father. So we have a ruin that we get to work on, which is going to be really interesting.
There you go. That's your lifeboat. You can escape the madness.
It really is. It's the most calming existence. You know, I don't know what we're doing in this country. We just don't get left alone. And are allowed to just have an existence and live peacefully. We're just constantly exhausting and trying to make money and trying to stay ahead. And I mean, that's just not how we're supposed to live. I don't believe that that's supposed to be our lives. I think, you know, yes, we're all now used to this convenience of turning on the light switch and you have lights and your plumbing, everything works and stuff, but you can live rurally and still have all of that stuff. And then also grow your own food and be part of a community, and, you know, very similar to the IRL situation that you're looking for within a community. That can be a city or a town, and where everybody has this mentality. There is actually a place, and I'll send this privately to you, in Oregon, that's amazing for this, where it's all white people. They hold historical family title to properties, and they don't sell. The kids stay in the town, and they raise their kids there, and they just keep doing it generationally. And those are the places that you need to look for when you're considering moving to a place that's for white people, because they're already all white. All you have to do is, you know, start joining your city councils, your school boards. You know, try to become a mayor, you know, whatever you can to impose yourself and white ideals and white growth and white, I can't even say the word, preserving.
Preservation.
Right, yeah. Preservation. And, you know, that's how you start to grow from situations like that. And like Kathleen was saying about Hitler and learning about nationalism, he studied and really wanted to have a grasp on, you know, how to have, you know, mass people really consider themselves as connected and part of a group and a culture and a society, and, you know, to gain strength from that. So, and he used it very effectively, and it was actually used against him through the Russians, you know, via his own knowledge of it anyway. But yeah, so we all have access to these places. And I kind of diverted away from where we were going, because we don't have these calm lives. And, you know, so many of us have to work, and it's rough, you know, and you get really discouraged. And, you know, when you go to the grocery store and you've got, you know, a bag with 5 items in it and it was $100, and you're like, oh my God, you know, what is happening to this country? It just slowly whittling away at all of our luxuries, all of the things that, you know, we consider our daily necessities. I think we have to reconsider what those daily necessities are, and they need to be more like family and nutrition and making more kids, you know, teaching our children. And focusing in these directions instead of this industrial technological consumer capitalist kind of a perspective, right? Otherwise, you know, very hard to get to another place, because, like you said, it's very convenient. Nobody wants to, you know, if you're trying to homestead and have a job at the same time, that's not going to work. Right.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It has to be where everybody gets, you know, a couple acres and the ability to have a start. And, you know, if we can get to that point and really build our white society back up and strengthen it so that, you know, we start growing outward from these locations and into the states, you know, there are places that this is happening already. I've been doing quite a bit of research into this. So I'm trying to identify locations in each state, and when I have probably 30 total, I'm at about 15 right now. When I have about 30 total, I'm going to email them to you, because I know you're working on the sidelines trying to do stuff as well and kind of, you know, focusing in these different locations. The problem is that you have to have somebody in each of these areas. You know, there's the group of whites that's defending whites, protecting whites, doing anything for whites, they're online. And I'm just wondering, you know, we don't know that they necessarily exist within our communities. And are we going to place them into these communities? Are we going to advertise somehow to find them in these communities so that they can be based out of these areas? I think about all this stuff tremendously because I do believe that white men are the ones that are going to stop this.
Oh, well, we got a lot of bootstrapping to do then, I guess.
Not to put such a huge burden on you guys, but...
Start bootstrapping.
Well, I think the economic...
I'll state the economic precarity is intentional, right? So it's make sure you're on this eternally spinning wheel and you're churning away on that wheel and you don't have time to think about who's putting the knife in your back. You're just busy, busy, busy. And that's exactly the way they like it. I think that's intentional. And the economic precarity, by the way, makes people, generally speaking, less apt to be troublesome citizens like those who call out disproportionate and illegitimate Jewish power, for example. Clash, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think about like going to these areas, right? And trying to establish, you know, communities and everything. But, you know, we had countries. We had whole countries that had laws about immigration, right? Right? And we lost those. I just don't. Mm-hmm.
They're still there. Nobody's enforcing them.
Yeah, well, it's going to come down to the
still there.
The Connecticut.
They're not going to leave you alone. They're not going to let you. They won't.
Yeah, they don't leave you alone. No, that's all part of it now. That's part of what you need to. It's part of the undertaking. So if you're going to make sure you live the way you want to live, then there's going to be some. There's going to be some problems. There's going to be some back and forth. I don't need to state the obvious. But that's okay. You know, it's worth doing so that our kids and our kids' kids don't have to. And so I think that's the idea. That's the idea. We may not even see the benefits of this in the end, which is really difficult for some to understand why you would do it. But that's the point. That's why you would do it. So that the people that go after you, they already have the institutional memory of something started as well. It's good if they have something started.
I think we will experience it in our lifetime.
I hope so. But I think it's going to be nice. A national socialist. If we don't change the entire thing, then there's no point.
Yeah, there's going to come a point where the root branch argument is the only answer. It's like this shit's got to be ripped out and burned. It's the only way to fix it. And then you start over again and you make sure that anyone who had any affiliation at all with the previous government is, dispatched, shall we say, after due course and after trial or whatever we might call it. And then you can start something over. Yep. And that's how it goes. And this is not that unusual, by the way. That's really the pattern of history. So it's not like we're asking for a lot. We're not asking for history to do anything it doesn't usually do. So I think it will come to that. But yes, we just have to be really careful about how the history books record us, right? So there's that. All right, let's see.
We better be careful because their version of the future is that we are removed from the history books.
Oh, I know it. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So I think this is a really big topic.
Yeah, that's why
they're showing us how we're being removed. They're removing statues and references and all kinds of things out. And it's being changed in front of our eyes.
Oh, yeah. If we have any sense about us, we'll make sure that the books keep getting printed. And that's going to be the only way to rectify history later. Yep. I have no doubt. All right,
I'm a changed person. I will never be the same. I don't know how anyone can be looking at the crimes against humanity that we've all witnessed, especially against children. These helpless, helpless children slaughtered in the tens of thousands.
Right. This is Abby Martin, but they have a weird writing under her. So I guess this is made for other audiences as well. But looks like she's pretty upset. Not a pretty crier, but you got to give it to her. Abby Martin, she knows what she's doing.
Thousands. Humanity's dead. I don't know what I'm going to tell my children. I don't know how I can explain to them that the world has allowed this to happen.
Oh, Abby, you just have to teach them about Jews. This is something Abby is hesitant to do because she considers herself. She's like a classic liberal, like in a good way. Like she thinks, oh, we should be egalitarian and you can't, well, you can't treat whole groups like something. I mean, there's always exceptions and she's always looking for the exception and all this stuff. But yeah, just teach your kid about Jews and they'll go, oh, okay, now I get it.
And if we don't hold Israel accountable, what's next? What's next?
Well, they're probably going to kill you and your kids. I'm surprised they've not killed her next, in fact. I'm sure she's on their shit list for sure.
That's the question that I want to ask. Is this really the world that we're going to live in? Where this state can commit these crimes on camera with impunity? Proudly. Yeah,
unless you burn them.
That's not the world that I wish to grow children in and raise children in. And it terrifies me. So yes, I'm very impacted. And I question people who are not. I question people's soul. If you are not impacted by what you see, how are you human?
Well, they're like spiritually Jewish, some of them. And so the kikes have really gotten to them. You know what I mean?
They're not human. Well,
any thoughts on the lovely and very powerful Abby Martin?
She doesn't say it's the Jews.
No, she does. She's very hesitant to, but she knows who it is. Yeah. But yeah, I don't make excuses for her, but she should just teach her kids about Jews and then the kids won't be confused then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 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 Well, she does those documentaries where, at least in the past, I doubt she'll get in again. If she gets into Israel one more time, they're not sending her out, is my thinking. But anyway, she used to do these documentaries where it's just people on the street, and she would ask them, so what do you think of the Palestinian situation? What would you do with the Palestinians? And she was the first to get those man and woman on the street interviews where Jews just said, oh, yeah, we got to kill them all. You know, we just got to get rid of all of them. It's our land, and, you know, God gave it to us and all this. So she was doing that first. So for that reason alone, you know, she's a keeper. But yeah, she should be a little more overtly Jew-wise. By the way, Rabbi Shmuley has a big hard on for Abby. He's constantly coming for her. He's always threatening her and all of that. Yep, yep, yep. All right. Well, Clash, any thoughts on Abby Martin or the content of what she discussed?
Nope.
There you go. All right. Next up.
Right now, there's a fight going on in Point Reyes. They just shut down a dozen farms, just like that. It's a fight that was going on for the last 8 years. Really doubled down on those farmers 2 years ago, and they put a gag order on them, so they couldn't.
Oh, wait, is this it says here it's California Farms. Okay, wow. All right, I wanted to know where this was. All right, so they're shutting down California Farms.
Dare even ask the community to stand up for them.
So they went out like they shut them down, meaning they're done. Can't even have cows or anything?
They've got to move off the property. They've been there for over 100 years. Those dairies started in 1857. And a lot of the same families have been there the whole time. Our local RCD even came up with money to upgrade the ranches if needed. And the environmental group said no thanks. They wanted to take the land over. And so they forced these farmers to sign an agreement that are pushing them all out. So we're going to lose.
Oh, was this like an eminent domain thing, or do you know how this was done?
I'm not sure how this was done, and I'm still doing a bit more research on it because this really affects us in California. Point Reyes dairies and the ones that they're talking about have been in existence in a really long time. They were actually started by Swiss Italians. So this is a historical thing for our family this doesn't happen.
Great. Oh, if he wants to.
Sorry. I'm a worst interface.
Right,
sorry.
Now there's a fight going on in.
My God.
And the fact that they put a gag order on them to not allow them to inform the public and the consumers. I mean, Point Reyes dairy and the cheese factories that they have are in Safeway and, you know, some of the major grocery chains. So this is a really big hit that they took out 12 dairies, and they've had a war against California dairies since probably. I mean, this was happening even to the dairy farmers that we had in the family where, you know, they would come after their herds, they would come after their production, they would, they destroyed herds, they caught, you know, the same things that they're doing now, coming up with diseases that don't exist on healthy animals and having them slaughtered. So there's been a war on farming in America for a really long time, especially private farming and small farming and organic farming, because, you know, they want us to buy their shit food. So having local farmers is going to be an obsolete thing. And I do believe that these people might have been, I know that the Swiss Italians owned their land. But there's also a very aggressive environmental groups in California where if you put your land into a conservatorship, they tricked them. They had something to do with a conservatorship or forestry or something like that. And once they did that, they started imposing restrictions on those types of properties. So they tricked them. Once they had them into the conservatorships to protect them, then they couldn't do develop. They couldn't develop. They couldn't do herding. They couldn't do anything on those lands. And I think this is the ordinances that the environmental organizations were able to go in and then take over the management of the properties, which is, I think, what is happening.
The environmental groups, quote unquote. Clasher, what was that you were saying?
They've been doing it for decades.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Well, yeah, that's a part of what the Posse Comitatus was about, the Montana Freemen.
I didn't realize that the Montana Freemen were blocking things like that.
Yeah. Because farmers were, they were taking farms and stuff, like the early 80s and stuff.
Ah, see? Okay. I only read the PatCon report, and of course, they failed to mention any of that. They only spoke about this dangerous militia group. It seems that they had a purpose. Yeah, interesting.
No.
Wow.
It had a lot to do. Yeah, it was a lot. it was a lot, but it was basically because they were taking all the farms back then.
Wow.
Like, remember, there was a thing, they're like a big concert. I can't remember the bands and everything, too. Even they got involved with Farm Aid.
Oh, yeah, Farm Aid. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's been going on forever. I guess, you know, the EPA is just another tactic of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
That was the attack on the corn and wheat farmers, right? They took a lot of land then, and cotton as well.
Really?
Well, yeah, so because they got to take the personal properties.
Yes.
Crazy.
Well, they would get the farmers where they had droughts, right? And so then they wouldn't, or their crops would die. They couldn't get crop insurances. Then they'd have to leverage their land and take out loans. And, you know, look at how they got it. The bankers got it.
Mm-hmm.
That was all about banker defaults. They went in there and took their land. They took it, defaulted them.
You see in the comments over here, look how silly this is. Take it to Trump ASAP. Look into it. So the person in the, this is what I mean. All this social media shit you have on the, this is a perfect balance right here. On the left panel, you see the benefit of social media is that people get to spread stories that contravene the official narratives. That's good. But over here in the right panel, we have placebo politics happening. Where people think, oh, I commented, I told them to take it to Trump, I did something now. Well, no, you've not really done anything.
But where's that? And families have been there the whole time.
What's that?
Is that an FTJ?
No, I'm looking right here on the, we're on the panel for TikTok right now. So, yeah, no one in FTJ likely would be saying to take it to Trump, he'll look into it, but, yeah, right here on TikTok, you have the perfect example of why TikTok exists. They're willing to trade you spreading content for the placebo political action of you get to make your comment and feel like you did something. Now you don't have to do anything. It's wild. All right, let's go see.
It's like the people that tag Elon and Trump on X, you know. It's like, oh, my God. It's like, okay, Chucklebucks, you really think these guys are in on it? Come on.
Yeah, the people who tagged them, yeah. Oh, I told them now Trump is on the job. He's looking into it aggressively. Yeah. All right. Well, let's go back to, we haven't heard about the gag order yet. So here we go.
Our local RCD even came up with money to upgrade the ranches if needed. And the environmental group said, no, thanks. They wanted to take the land over. And so they forced these farmers to sign an agreement that are pushing them all out. So we're going to lose half of our dairies in Marin County and a bunch of the beef ranches that provide local food.
So where can they go to find out more information about what's going on with these 12 farms, or is there anywhere?
There's not a lot of places. Marin IJ, Marin Independent Journal, has done a good job reporting about it. My Instagram, Shalina93Racing, they can find information. My sister, Dairy Girl Diaries, is on there. America Unwon has been doing a phenomenal job about reporting. And Albert Strauss, Strauss Creamery, they're very involved because they're going to lose 15% of their organic milk supply.
Oh, wow.
From this. Oh, yeah, it's huge. It's a huge hit to the local food. Right now, there's a fight going on.
You go. All right. Well, all right. Looks like, ladies, you can get to the farm because she looks pretty healthy. I guess all that farm living. It's true what they say. Maybe we should just all be homesteading. But, okay, that's fucking wild. A gag order. You have small Instagram channels have to be the brokers of news when it comes to this story. It's insane. It's fucking insane. Oh, here, I'm sorry. It's this is what a sinkhole looks like.
It's the river. The river is taking that whole property.
It seems so. That's crazy. But it looks like it's taking
it starts to undermine the house too. It takes out the deck and then starts to go towards the house.
God damn. Well, this is not good.
Sorry, the roosters are kind of loud in the background.
Oh, I thought that was in the video. The roosters are getting taken out. Look at it. It really is. This is crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of scary. Can you imagine there's not a freaking thing you can do in the neighbor's house? And then this guy's saying, well, there's a tree right in front of them. If that tree starts to go, he's like, we're out of here.
Yeah.
We're all right.
He said, we're all right. This guy is bullshit. Yeah, bullshit is right.
Oh, yeah. I'm just going. When this tree goes, then I'm gone.
Yeah, if the tree goes, exactly.
Where's that at?
Good question. Let's take a look here. And I don't see anyone mentioning the location. That's a shame. Either way, that's pretty crazy, yeah. Oh boy, some of the trees had been cut back for review, but they made the ground unstable. Well, that's another thing. Yeah, people like to clear the view. And so you might end up paying the price for clearing the view. That's crazy. I don't
think that's scary. Natural disasters.
Tell you what. The other manual, part one. That's interesting.
Let's see what this is. I'm getting on my nerves. Get down.
Project 2025 is the only manual. I think that's the published manual on how to become a dictator 101. I have evidence that there's likely another one. I have never been nervous to make a video about sensitive things that could, I guess, quote unquote, get me in trouble, but this one has me anxious. There's a lot of men who are really great creators on this app that do the same thing that I do, and they have millions of followers. And I think if you really want something done right, you have to let the ladies do it. So here we go. But fair warning, this video will just abruptly cut off. There's going to be a part two. I'm filming this intro after I've done the meat and potatoes. Just like last night's videos on CCOT, I'm using, again, a prestigious university's research library, and specifically, this is a research paper that comes out of the Pontifica Universidad Católica de Chile. So this whole thing, again, has been translated from Spanish into English, so if there is some weird language, that's why. This is not going to be something you can just find out in the Google space. And here's the front page as a receipt, just so you all know that Sonia Wolf actually conducted this research and that this is entitled El Salvador Under Nayib Bukele, The Turn to Electoral Authoritarianism. This is what I believe the United States is about to become specifically, not necessarily a dictatorship, not a monarchy, but an electoral authoritarian state. We will talk more about CCOT specifically, but we need to start by understanding the relationship between President Trump and President Bukele of El Salvador. See, President Bukele has actually achieved what Donald Trump wishes to, so this is the playbook. But how did President Bukele achieve this? El Salvador is known for its gang activity. It is awful and monstrous, and we don't have any concept of what that is like as Americans. President Bukele decided that he was going to confront all of the gang activity with something that he called the Territorial Control Plan, which has never been publicly published. This plan was allegedly very community-based and included the use of a militarized public security strategy. That was until the last weekend of March in 2022, when gang members killed 87 Salvadorians, and President Bukele decided that he was going to declare a state of emergency. Just to be clear, going to the text here, the state of emergency suspends the constitutional rights to freedom of association and assembly, to counsel, to privacy and communications, and to being informed of the reason for one's arrest. This is where we start paying attention to this information as the playbook that exists in addition to Project 2025. And this is why I'm so cautious about protests in today's 2025 version of the United States, even though I do catch a lot of flack for it. In addition to the state of emergency, President Bukele also engaged in other legal reform, which also included the expanded use of pretrial detention and lowered the age of criminal responsibility for children accused of gang-related activities from 16 to 12. That means 12-year-olds could actually be arrested, not told why.
Yeah, lady, have you seen the 12-year-olds in Baltimore? This might be a good thing, but I get what she's saying. I mean, she is incorrect, though, fundamentally incorrect about one thing. America has been in and continues to be in a state of emergency for a very long time. It's been something that's just been renewed and renewed, and it's like 40 years ongoing now. They've been in a state of emergency. Do you ever wonder how is it that Congress can complain at a press conference that the president never came to us to declare war? That's because he didn't have to, because we've been in a state of emergency for 40 years, retards. That's how they're able to do it. Not only that, but it verbally gets it gets reified every now and then. You got Trump here with another EO, yet another state of emergency. So no, we don't just have one. I'm telling you, we have multiple states of emergency happening all the time. So she's incorrect about that. Bukele's country having a state of emergency is not unique. But sure, they could do this, I guess. I don't know what's the electoral authoritarian bit, though. Like, we kind of already have that. You can only vote for a handful of controlled candidates. Like, it seems we're already there with that part.
Why they're arrested, thrown into any of these detention centers, and then eventually be tried as adults. Since all of this happened, this researcher suggests that there have been 77,000 Salvadorians arrested. However, they do note that there is a lack of public clarity on these statistics.
You know what? I can tell you this, though. Again, I don't want a government rounding up white nationalists, but when it comes to like actual criminals, their crime stats reduced by something like 80% as soon as you locked up. You take a few thousand criminals, and then suddenly your crime stats nearly disappear. Yeah, it's a pretty good trade-off, maybe. You know, we're authoritarian by impulse. So when I hear about Bukele, it's kind of like, you know, you do you, King. I guess, you know, you do your thing.
You know, a lot of people have forgotten that the 2012 NDAA that Obama did.
Yeah.
it's in there that they can grab people off the street, like black bag them, you know, and with no charges and for an indeterminate amount of time. And that's never been changed.
Nope. Yep. So, I mean, didn't they call that extraordinary rendition or something like that was the word. And they did that to thousands of people. This is not something they just did once or twice. Yep. They'll put your ass in a plane. That's another trick, too. If they can't quite figure how to detain you at a black site, well, they'll just put you in a plane. And they torture you on the plane. You know, I know it sounds like Talmudic pilpul, but that's who's running things. So,
right.
Yes, they'll black bag your ass. Mm-hmm. Crazy, crazy. Any other comments? We'll continue. I want to hear the part. I want to hear the explanation of a of like a an electoral authoritarianism or whatever she's making the case for. And we've all known
so much to look forward to.
Yeah, there's that. But yeah, well, we all know a girl like this, and she's got a really sweet disposition and a big heart. And she thinks like, oh, this seems so unfair. But honey, sometimes it takes locking up the bad people without a proper quote unquote trial or whatever. Sometimes you have to do what you have to do, you know. And if you think Bukele's bad, wait till I'm in charge of something. Your fucking head's going to spin right off your shoulders.
This model has been in place. The state of emergency remains, and quite honestly, the people in El Salvador are very supportive of President Bukele because they feel safer, because gang activity is falling. So now let's talk about what an electoral autocracy really is and what its core dilemma is. Salvadorians really supported President Bukele's efforts in terms of just going after all of these gang members and lowering the age of adult criminal age to 12 and all of these other things. They were seeing an improvement in their communities and they just felt safer. And quite frankly, the danger is not as great as it once was. So you would think that President Bukele would lift that state of emergency. But as of 2024, it was announced that the state of emergency would stay in place and not be lifted until all of this gang violence and all of this gang activity was, quote, completely eradicated.
And well, great. Yeah. So he can do this for another 39 years and then he'll be doing what America did. So, you know, again, we've got the state of emergency going and going and going, which again is evidently, again, not that unusual for a country to have a state of emergency. So here we go. What do we have here? State Department is changing its mind about what it calls human rights. Oh, okay, this should be good. This should be good. Here we go.
Administration is scaling back the definition of human rights. Things are obviously accelerating very quickly here in the United States in the worst way possible. They're working to remove critiques of harsh prison conditions, government corruption, and restrictions on participation in the political process. You guys, our rights are being literally demolished. Despite decades of precedent, the reports which are meant to inform congressional decisions on foreign aid allocations and security assistance will no longer call governments out for such things as denying freedom of movement and peaceful assembly. Do you understand? You are losing your right to protest or speak out against this government. They won't condemn retaining political prisoners without due process or restrictions on freedom and fair elections. This country is literally taking its last breath as we speak. I don't know what else to say. You guys need to go read this. If the Supreme Court doesn't do something, if Congress doesn't do something, this is it, kids. The State Department.
Okay, interesting. Well, the State Department is growing in power. That's weird. So first it was Victoria Nuland, and she's able to start a war with Russia. And now their powers are growing to exert control on the American people. Okay. Well, then again, this is NPR she's focusing on, but I'm sure it's true. I have no reason to believe it's not true. All right. Any comments from anyone before we go to Ryan Grimm?
Yeah, they need to do away with the concept of human rights. It's been used as a cudgel for too long.
Yeah, because human rights, again, if they're redefining human rights, it's like, well, if we're going to go to the drawing board, wait till you see my notes, you know. So, again, I can't play the, you know, the daylily here and be like, oh, my goodness, the human rights of it all. It's like right, the things. Yeah. Yeah, the things we have planned for them, we shouldn't be ones to talk. So maybe I'm not the one for that. Yeah, for that conversation. But I get it. They could abuse it, but they could do it now. As Always Honest has already made the point. You know, they could just they could do it now. And as you've made the point, they could black bag you in a van. So it's like, what could be worse than that, really? So I'm not that worried about the State Department and what they're up to because it's already pretty bad. Frankly, this could be an accelerationist plus if things get bad enough. Maybe when everyone knows someone who knows someone who knows someone who got black bagged, they'll be like, you know what? It's time to stop this fucking bullshit. So maybe that. Always Honest. Any comments?
People need to know about Solzhenitsyn.
Yes, actually, yes. Yeah, I did get that book, but I there's so many others in the stack. But it's great. I don't know if it's still available, but believe it or not, the 200 Years Together was actually available on Amazon for a minute. So someone did an English translation and it was available. Pretty crazy. Always Honest. Any comment on that before we go to Ryan Grimm, who Ryan Grimm's a lefty, but Ryan Grimm's a pretty, he's a pretty extraordinary reporter, all told. All right. Well, then we'll go ahead to Ryan motherfucking Grimm. He tends to tell it how it is. He's never going to agree with your totalitarian or fascist impulses, but he tells it how it is. So that's good.
Yemen yesterday that isn't getting enough attention, and that is that the United States claimed credit for the bombing of a major fuel depot. And the U.S. acknowledged in its statement from CENTCOM that the reason they attacked this civilian infrastructure is to deprive Yemen of the oil needed to run its economy and ultimately to make its economy suffer. Now, they also did what's called a double tap strike. This is where, and this was invented first by terror groups. Israel uses it quite frequently. The U.S. Has condemned it when other countries and other terror groups have done it. But a double tap is when you first strike a piece of civilian infrastructure, and then you wait for the rescue workers to come save those who are burning to death, who are crushed underneath the rubble, and then you attack again, timed to kill those rescue workers. As a result, at least 15 paramedics have been killed in Yemen, and the images of people burning to death coming out of this U.S. terror attack are absolutely shocking to the conscience. Now, the U.S., on and off through three administrations, has been alternately attacking or starving Yemen to no effect. The same government is in control now in Sana'a that has been for almost 10 years at this point. But this is not just an escalation, but also an admission that the entire purpose of this strike was to hit the civilian infrastructure in order to crush the economy. That is an international war crime of the highest order. Was a major event in Yemen yesterday that isn't getting enough attention.
All right, there we go. Where is the button to stop these things from looping? You can't do it. You just can't stop it. It's all meant to continue the doom scroll. That's the point. All right, any comment on Ryan Grimm? Perhaps it reminds you of what the Allies did with the World War II bombings. They did that to the Germans.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, Ryan Grimm's not going to mention that. He's not that kind of guy. But his reporting is generally accurate, so you can take that for what it's worth. In other words, given a choice between Matt Taibbi or Ryan Grimm, you definitely want to go with Ryan Grimm. Anyway. So.
Not much of a choice between the two.
No, but those are our choices. Oh, look at this. Right. This is pretty funny. Here you go. This is a good gif. Here you go. Yes, Agent Smith is Hitler. And well, bam. That's pretty great. I like it. I like the gif. Much appreciated, Rights for Whites. How great is that?
Oh, my gosh. Pardon me.
That's your sneeze?
Yes.
It's adorable. That's ridiculous. That's excellent. That's unbelievable. All right. That's really good. If you could do that on command, you'd really have a career on YouTube. All right. Well, everybody, it looks like, well, let me just refresh over here at FTJ. You never know. You never know. You have to refresh now all the time. And okay, there we are. Excellent. Excellent. Good. All right. We'll take final words from Clasha and then Always Honest.
I just got some books mailed from the UK. I just got a notice from Irving Books.
Nice.
Yeah, I got Nuremberg, The Last Battle, and the Morgenthau Plan.
Oh, I got both of those. Excellent. Yep, excellent.
Do you? Do you? I can't wait. Yeah, I just got the notice on my email. I'm like, yay.
Yes, yes. Was he having a sale or something? Or did you just figure it's
no.
time?
No. Yeah, well, I've been buying a lot of books. A lot of books lately, so.
Here's the one I've got lurking. Here you go. Yeah, that's my next. I'm going to save up for it. Expected arrival of Hitler's War Millennium Edition is mid-May. All right. Well, I wasn't going to get that anyway, but
I almost this one, got it.
This Battle for Berlin looks very interesting. So one of these days. All right, everybody.
How much is that we'll one? Take,
35, yep. And Always Honest final words.
Just if you can, please donate. We need to keep Davis giving us information on a daily basis. And just do your best to give him a little bit of your what do the Jews donate to their churches and synagogues? What is the standard 20% or something like that? He's only asking for 2%. It's a tiny, tiny amount. And it's probably, less than what you pay for a latte. On your way to work.
Oh, so, yeah. Depending where you live, it's a lot less than a latte, yeah.
And keep tuned in because, this is really the only place for white people left on FTJ.
Mm-hmm. Yes, FTJ, fuck the Jews. By the way, Callahan says it's called tithes. I thought that was just Christians, but I guess that's true. Jews probably tithe as well or whatever they do. They give their Tikkun Olam fund. You know them. Jews don't tithe, they teethe. Well, that's true too, yes. they probably do. Yeah. All right, everybody. Speaking of, that's what we'll do, the formalities of reminding you, hey, pitch in. Or if not me, then go to someone you support and you should support more of what you want to see in the world. So that's always a good thing. You're never going to lose when you support more of what you want to see in the world.
Fuck you, pay me.
Mr. Lerman.
Fuck you, pay me.
Davis Lerman.
Fuck you, pay me.
Davis Lerman.
Fuck you, pay me.
Fucking pay me.
Davis Lerman.
Fuck you, pay me.
Davis Lerman.
All right, so.
But anyway, so.
I saw NNR in the chat, which means we're probably stepping on the first minute of his show. So we'll check out. Thanks for the final words. And, of course, the excellent content, ladies. Thanks for all your input and sharing your thoughts. Really good stuff.
Thank you.
All right. Well, that was good. Yes. Take care, everybody. And we'll of course see you every Thursday. That's how it works. And you guys can invite anyone all the time. So this is your show. So I'll send the link back out to Kathleen if that's someone you want to add to the rotation or Clash, or maybe you have a friend you're thinking of. Oh, well, they can't be on ladies' night then, but we'll have them on. Let's have your friend on Monday if you want to do that, or Tuesday.
Yeah, I'll get a hold of him.
Yeah, do that and we'll figure it out. We'll introduce your friend to the audience and we'll do a little back and forth that way. So we're all good conversationalists around here. All right. So shoot for next Tuesday, or if you can only do Monday, that works too. All right. I think that should be interesting for everyone. If this person has passed the Clasha test, we're pretty sure this person's going to be fucking based. So
yes,
we all look forward to that.
He's actually been in contact with Chad Crowley.
Ah, okay.
That's talking to him too. So I want to snag him before he gets him.
Hell yeah! Good stuff. All right, everybody, till next time, and we'll talk to you tomorrow, every night, 8 to 11.
Bye.
Is it over already?
The show is over.
Well, that sucks.
Beep, 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 bye. No, it can't be over already.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
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 The White Nationalist Ladies Roundtable.
It is not for nothing that you see so many women in our movement and here in this hall, even in a movement that has fought in the most masculine way. You see them here because the feeling correctly tells them this is about the future of our children and thus about the future of our German nest. And then there is no more wavering, no faltering. No, the feeling is steady. It does not waver and it does not give way. Believe me, a doctor may speak calmly of our hysterical women, but women once brought Christianity to the nations, and they will ultimately lead our movement to lasting victory. And wherever she was missing, not only the woman herself would be missing, but with her also the youth, and thus the future. Be sure of this, the movement that has the fewest women also has the least strength.
I expect from all women and girls,
the movement that has the fewest women,
that they will support this fight with an extreme fanaticism,
has the least strength,
as they have so far.
White doesn't power.
Okay.
Instead,
you're done.
She decides
you're done
to go racial.
White nationalist ladies roundtable.
No, she's right.
What is a woman?
Right out of Nazi Germany. Right out of Nazi Germany.
It's the White Nationalist Ladies Round Table.
White fucking power.
That's unacceptable.
She's banned.
This is what scrolling on that desolate part of TikTok looks like.
Ban her. She's banned. She's banned. We want a permanent ban on her.
What is going on?
You didn't know anything about this lady. But now that you do know, show the aggressive, proactive steps that you will take.
We're not here to attack you. We're here to inform you.
That's my thing. This goes beyond that. This goes beyond that.
If you listen to this for 30 seconds or more, it will haunt your dreams and echo your mind when you're alone in your thoughts.
People of the utmost highest character.
Fucking nigga, fucking motherfucker.
Why she's banned. She's banned. And they want to know why she's banned.
Yeah, no.
No, yeah, really, actually.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, you're done. Any other questions?
Like, what is this? There was so much drama, and I don't like drama, so... Yes, exactly. It's not my thing.
You know what I mean? When I go to sleep, I just think about...
The White Nationalist Ladies Roundtable.
You know what I mean? It just kind of hits. I like it.
White Nationalist Ladies Roundtable.
I strongly encourage you try it.
It's the White Nationalist Ladies Roundtable.
I suggest y'all try this shit.
White Nationalist Ladies Roundtable.
You have to be white for this to count, okay?
Nationalist Ladies Roundtable. Thank you for listening to the White Nationalist Ladies Roundtable.
Yeah, thanks for watching. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for supporting our movement.
Bye-bye.
Right Perspective Radio.
And it was so, so powerful. Thanks for watching. Bye.
Davis Lerman.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
One purpose, one people, we are rising. One purpose, one people, we are rising.